Eat a cicada. I want you to put it in your mouth. Okay, you getting that, Bill? You getting to film it?
Adam Curry, John C. Dvorak.
It's Thursday, June 10th, 2021. This is your award-winning Gibbon Nation Media Assassination, episode 1354.
This is No Agenda.
Fighting all variants and broadcasting live from Opportunity Zone 33 here in the frontier of Austin, Texas, capital of the Drone Star State. Good morning, everybody. I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where it's sunny and cold, I'm John C. Dvorak.
It's Crackpot and Buzzkill in the morning.
Well, there's nothing like a short weather report to get the day started.
Yeah, that's all I do. That's as creative as I can get at the beginning of the show.
That's all right. Did you do a 3x3?
I did, as a matter of fact.
Ah,
now it's time for a 3x3 experiment
by Jay-Z Dean. Comparing stories from ABC, CBS, and NBC. The never-ending 3x3.
That's right, everybody. 3x3, where we check in with the real news of the day as John C. Dvorak takes time out of his busy morning, to look at what's going on.
So NBC is hopeless. It's all ads. Not that when they go to today's show, it's all ads.
Yeah.
I go to CBS, there's content. I go to ABC, there's content. I go to NBC, it's ads. I go to ABC, there's more content. CBS, more content. NBC, more ads. Then NBC cuts to the show, which is a box, a 6x6 box, or a 6x2 box.
A secto box.
It's a big box, and everyone's working from home. They're not working from home at ABC. They're not working from home at CBS, but they're working from home at NBC. That's why it's all ads. And so the next show, you go to NBC, they finally come on with some content, and it's just like some previews of what's coming, and then a cut to the local weather. And then they come back as previews of what's coming, and then they cut away to more ads.
Wow.
NBC is just the worst. Don't watch the Today Show.
What kind of ads? Was it anything of note? Pharma ads?
No, just junk ads. Good morning, America. I go to there. They got the deals segment. NBC, by the way, teased that they have a segment like this, but they never showed it to me. Deals, just a bunch of stuff they're selling with codes and all the rest, so they get a piece of the action. This is all hard out.
Okay, like call to action stuff.
Yeah, hey, look what these great headphones. Oh, these headphones are on sale.
You mean, if you'd like a discount and get two MyPillows.
Yeah, and so they had the thing I was watching for a minute was a great, because it's Father's Day coming up.
Yeah.
And they've got a great deal, another deal on Omaha Steaks. You've heard of them.
Yes, yeah.
Omaha Steaks, 50% off. Awesome deals. They kept saying, using the word awesome.
Awesome. Really? Oh, man. Okay.
CBS?
Yeah.
Okay, we go. It's just a bunch of people that were working, or they went to school, and there's some program to get them home. It's called, I don't know what it's called, Go Home. And then they cut away from that as quick as they could to do a whole segment and a special promotion of the new Space Jam movie with LeBron James.
Hey, wait, and that was CBS?
Yeah, CBS has more entertainment news than Good Morning America.
Whose movie is it?
LeBron James.
I know. Who?
I have no idea. Probably Warner's. I'm not sure who's doing Space Jam, but they do this franchise with whatever new players around, they can bring them in. Then they turn them into a cartoon.
No, I'm just wondering if it's a house ad. CBS is Sony. They got, here we go. Let me see.
Could have been.
Okay. Let me see. You keep on going and I'll see if I can.
Well, that's pretty much it. That's all there was.
Oh.
They did, back to NBC, they did have a quick cut to the Velocicaster, Velocicoaster, which is a big deal. They're opening it up somewhere in Florida.
Velocicoaster.
Yeah.
Nice.
It was, these shows are dreck.
Of course they're dreck. What did you expect? Jeez. Well, luckily, there's a lot going on, a lot for us to talk about. And I'll give my own little 3x3, which is a 1x1. The Academy of Country Music Awards had their award show last night. Nobody knew.
I didn't know,
and I like country. I like my country
music. Well, you like award shows. You're a big fan. You're a major, major, major junkie.
Yep.
That's and all you, over. Did you know? You didn't know about it?
No, and that makes sense because they had a 0.8 rating in the demo.
0.8
in the demographic.
Just give them the asterisk and get it over with.
But you know, they've got to stop thinking that celebrities are important. Keith Urban, love the guy, but having him host the show, these people, we've been through this so many times, they have no influence. Get some TikTok children up there. You want to see some ratings? TikTok kids. That's what you want to do, idiots. So there's so much going on, and I'm thinking, you know, we obviously a lot of people are COVID reporting tired. I think we're tired of it. And to me, although we can certainly go into it, there's so much now about the bat versus the lab theory. It's just a distraction. It's just to keep you not looking from what's happening with the New World Order, the globalists, the G7, proposals of global tax rates. The globalists are coming out on television and talking about things and how powerful they are. And it's a mess. But what I think we should do for COVID is address the one thing that is now being used in anything connected to the British Empire, the UK, India, Canada, Australia, and New Zealand, and that is the D variant, the Delta variant, which is just a rename for the B117. And it's like B117.
Better name. It's a better name.
Of course it is. My sister-in-law called me. Yo, Adam, what's up with the Delta variant? You know, she never asked me about the B117. So it's a great name. And maybe just to catch everybody up on the past 4 days of mainstream media here in the United States, the M5M, we have a house-made supercut by the clip custodian, Neil Jones himself.
Tonight, Houston becoming the first U.S. city to see cases of all the reported variants.
The Delta variant fueled a surge in India and is now the dominant strain in the U.K.
This variant of the virus is stoking some alarm.
And in that coronavirus emergency, new fears about a double mutant variant.
What's your level of concern about this new variant?
These new variants, you've described them as a combination of mutations all at the same time.
I want to ask you about a mutation within these mutations. Mutations. It's, I guess, nicknamed the EEK mutation.
There is a new variant of this virus. You have said that we have to assume it's already inside this country as well.
But what we're likely to see is regionalized epidemics with this new variant.
Tonight, an East and West Coast punch of new COVID variants.
We've now been reinfected with the South African variant.
They appear to have discovered a new highly contagious variant that combines the British variant and the Indian variant.
So what we know about this new variant is that it is more contagious.
How long will it take us to get the booster shots?
That is a summary. And it's working in the royal countries, in the old country. Looks like UK is going to continue their restrictions for another week. yeah. Scandinavia, wow, man. You know, actually, someone reminded me of, remember that whistleblower leak from Canada, and we were laughing about it, but then everything turned out to be true?
Oh, yes. Well, I was the one mostly laughing. You were taking it semi-seriously.
Well, no, it was one of those notes where I say, you know, this could be completely nuts, but we need to read it no matter what.
Yeah, well, it was red.
It was red, and you know, it's pretty much right down to where we are now, second quarter of 2021. I have the highlights of the whistleblower email/document. Transition everyone into basic universal income or universal basic income. That is what should be happening just about now, as people are breaking. They have no money. You know, it's breaking. Everything is breaking. And it's like, you and I are free men, more or less, although you have to wear a diaper. Well, how's that doing in California with the masks? Is that become less or is it still full on?
If you go in a store, everyone wears masks. If you are floating around now, I'm seeing less and less masks on bicyclists. You shouldn't have seen them in the first place. I got some people over at the moment cleaning up the yard and they're nobody's wearing a mask.
Well, yeah, of course, they're Mexicans. They're smart.
Yeah, they're smart.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, here it's done. I'd say 40% still wearing masks outside as well. And if you look at all the man on the street interviews, most of it is to make other people feel comfortable, you know, that kind of thing. But otherwise, no, we're open. I really love that. I have two quick clips from ABC.
Okay, there's a number of states that follow that.
Oh, yeah. No,
Florida, for example. We'll go back to the 3x3 earlier. They when they did that little report on the Velocicoaster, they had three people, three correspondents in the field with microphones all right next to each other in Florida. And they looked like the happiest people that had ever worked at NBC.
Well, the variance word is fantastic. And it's going to crop up a couple times today. Variance is just, it's a new buzzword. And two quick clips with from ABC.
The Delta variant fueled a surge in India.
Surge.
Is now the dominant strain in the UK, spreading rapidly among 12 to 20-year-olds. President Biden and medical experts say it's an urgent reason for young people to get vaccinated.
Now, everywhere in the UK or on British YouTube, you see even some politicians saying, well, yeah, it's spreading real fast, this variant, but look at the numbers. There's no hospitalizations. It's just asymptomatic spread, and they're being tested. That does it.
I have a clip here that I wanted to play, which is from NPR. I have some more COVID stuff than I wanted. Play this COVID. This is a similar report, but this is from South America. And this is the COVID South America report. And this is the same thing. They don't even... There's no numbers. I think this is still all to scare the Americans.
Absolutely. And the Brits, but it's working.
Dire warning on the COVID-19 outbreak in Latin America. Woo! In much of the region, new infections are at the highest levels now of any time during the pandemic. Here's NPR's Wolf Stone.
The picture throughout much of Latin America is bleak. Four of the five countries with the highest death counts in the world last week were in the region. In Central America, Panama and Guatemala are seeing big increases. Much of South America
is seeing a surge, especially
Argentina
and percentages.
Uruguay. Dr. Carissa Etienne, director of the Pan American Health Organization, says even with the doubling or tripling of hospital beds across the continent,
ICU beds are full, oxygen is running low, and health workers are overwhelmed.
Yes. Perfect.
Not one number. One dead, two dead, 1,000, 10,000? No.
I have something with percentages, which is another short one.
Well, even percentages is better than... I want hard numbers. Think if it's no numbers, they're just trying to scare the public. This is shameful.
Listen to this.
Right now, the Delta variant makes up 6% of samples tested in the U.S., Ooh. But Dr. Fauci warning the U.S. is not in the clear.
We cannot let that happen in the United States. If you had your first dose, make sure you get that second dose.
He says it's critical to get fully vaccinated. The Pfizer vaccine was 88% effective against the Delta variant after the second dose, but only 33% effective after just one dose.
Oh, 33% effective. After just one dose, these people are so blatant about their signaling. 33%. Give me a break. We can move on from here to incentives.
You got it. You got this segment because I didn't have any new incentives. I didn't get any new incentives.
I got incentives all over the place.
Next, COVID vaccination rates could hit a new high thanks to this idea.
To get more people lining up for the shot, officials in Washington State are allowing licensed marijuana dealers to, yeah, that's right, give out free joints to anyone who gets a jab. A similar event in Washington, D.C. in April got 4,000 people vaccinated.
So now they're using the jabs because, of course, it's alliteration with joints. Ha ha ha. But I found an even more disgusting pun-filled report and I'll give the reporter credit for going to a weed shop and saying, hey, is this working? Are people coming here in droves? Spoiler alert, no. But listen to this.
It takes medical marijuana to a higher level. The humble joint now being used in a war in support of drugs.
You think many people are going to be interested in this?
Yeah, it's Washington State. Yes.
How much interest in the Joints for Jabs campaign is still in question. Only three dispensaries in the entire state formally asked the state about the program, including Ike's in Seattle. And now there's another sticking point when it comes to the program.
I think the hardest part right now is being able to find somebody who can administer the vaccinations.
Unlike breweries and bars that ran similar promotions, pot shops have to organize their own pop-up clinics and find qualified people to actually come administer the shots before anybody gets their free weed. You only need to show proof of vaccination to get a free beer.
Do you think this might dissuade people from coming down and getting their shots?
I think the hype of it might slow down a little bit in a couple of weeks. Yeah. So yeah, I think there could be a fear of losing some interest. Just come in, provide their proof of vaccination, and be able to receive their joint and go.
That would make it a lot easier.
That would make it much easier.
The state liquor and cannabis board says customers have to actually get the shot at the pot shop to discourage them from traveling from store to store to get a free joint.
See, that's the part that I love. I hadn't even thought about that. If you just have a vaccination card, you can keep going into bars, go to the next bar, get a free drink. I like that. I think that's good. In order to stimulate the black community of America, we had Dr. Jill Biden, along with Dr. Anthony Fauci, go to Harlem at a vaccination drive and tell everybody to get vaccinated because, you know, if you don't vax, you ain't black.
This morning, the campaign for vaccines hits the road. The president's top COVID advisor, Dr. Anthony Fauci, and First Lady Dr. Jill Biden visiting a vaccination clinic set up at a Harlem church Sunday afternoon, trying to encourage people to get the vaccine.
We're going to end this outbreak, and the vehicle to ending it is vaccination.
Less than 1 million doses of the vaccine are being administered a day, according to the CDC. That is down about 70% from the peak in April, when the country was averaging about 3.3 million a day. The slowdown could put the president's July 4th goal in jeopardy. The deadline he set for 70% of adults to be at least partially vaccinated. The president declaring June a month of action. Right now, about 63% have gotten at least one dose. 300 million vaccine doses have been administered in total.
So, you better hurry up, you know, and if you don't get vaccinated, you could be like the loser. The big loser who didn't get vaccinated in time. That's right. The big golfer loser.
The PGA, a reminder this weekend that the fight is not over. Golfer Jon Rahm folding over with disappointment as he was told that he had tested positive for COVID, forced to withdraw from the Memorial Tournament. Rahm was leading by 6 strokes when he got the news. The PGA saying he was subject to contact tracing protocols as he had come into close contact with a person who was COVID positive. Rahm is asymptomatic. The golfer now in isolation.
They locked him up.
Like, yeah, he got screwed over.
Got nothing.
He no symptoms. He probably doesn't have it.
Nothing,
the whole thing's
at all.
A scam.
It's incredible.
The fact that everyone's not up in arms about this is beyond me.
Well, we're up in arms.
Well, okay, I guess
kind
that
of,
counts.
Kind of up in arms. The VAERS system came back online. The adverse event reporting system for vaccinations. Although still not updated past May 28th, we did see a major change in the mortality figures. You know how it was like 300 dead from Johnson & Johnson and over 2,000 for each Moderna and Pfizer, the kind of the same numbers?
Yeah.
Well, that's changed now.
Now so Johnson, they bring him back? Is the zombie apocalypse upon us?
Johnson & Johnson is now over 1,000 deaths, and Pfizer and Moderna have gone down a little bit. So they moved them over. Hey, how come those guys don't have a higher number? Remember, they were down for the whole weekend. I guess that's what they were doing, is getting it all set up.
So they hand-pruned it.
I've
got a series of disgusting clips.
We love disgusting clips on this show.
Vivek Murthy.
Oh my God! Yeah, you got this. This is great.
From NPR.
Yeah,
was on NPR.
Mm-hmm.
Doing a Q&A. These are pretty short. The first one, the intro is a little longer. And he is, you know, that clip with McCollum and the going to the black churches and the black church guy said, you know, we knew the government was lying all along.
Right. Yes.
Here's an example of the government just blatantly lying to you. And this Vivek character is really shameful. He's the worst. And he's the Surgeon General of the United States. He should be ashamed of himself. But let's play this. I got like five short clips.
That begs repeating. He is the Surgeon General of the United States. It is his office's job to communicate good health to the American people. I don't think there's any other job that he has but to communicate good, healthy behavior and he's good health.
He's a I say a cheerleader for good health in amongst Americans.
Yes.
So he's lying to everybody with his ideas.
Not surprised.
Let's listen to clip one where they introduce him.
Here are some numbers to get excited about. In the U.S., more than half the eligible population, that's people 12 and older, are fully vaccinated. And new coronavirus infections have fallen to their lowest point since the pandemic began, under 14,000 a day.
But we know you still have a lot of unanswered questions. For example, how long does vaccine protection last?
Will there be booster shots available?
When can young children get vaccinated?
Are they carriers?
And what is the U.S. doing to prevent this?
What this is an interesting thing they're doing. I've never heard NPR do this. Instead of just reading these questions, they splice them in.
There's two people there.
They're doing this. Hold on, let me listen to that again.
A lot of unanswered questions. For example, how long does vaccine protection last?
Will there be booster shots available?
When can young?
No, that's edited in. There's a whole different background sound on that. That's nuts. And not nuts. It's just
unnecessary. I'll just assume that you're right on this, and you probably are because you have the ear for it. This, in other words, what they've done here to bring this guy on, they've actually produced.
Yes.
A segment instead of just reading some copy.
Yeah. Hey, boy, I got a good idea.
How long does vaccine protection last?
Will there be booster shots available?
When can young children get vaccinated?
Are they carriers?
And what is the U.S. doing to prevent the spread of variants?
When the Americans feel safe in terms of international travel and global pandemic management.
And what is the U.S. doing to prevent the spread of variants? Mm-hmm. So when we got the chance to do an interview with the U.S. Surgeon General this week, we got answers. We did that on Twitter Spaces, a social media platform for live audio conversations. And that's what you're about to hear. Dr. Vivek Murthy in front of a virtual audience. And the first question, how exactly does the Biden administration plan to meet its goal of getting 70% of adults vaccinated by Independence Day with the rate of vaccinations slowing?
We're going to have to work really hard to make sure that there are more and more ways to access the vaccine, from extended hours at pharmacies to getting it into doctors' offices, to free rides with Uber and Lyft and free childcare as well.
Oh, man.
I'm optimistic that we'll make the 70%, but it's not going to be easy. It's going to take all of us.
Can we get a voucher for that? The free rides? How does that work? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, you get free rides.
Free rides, free joint, free drink. I mean, vax me all day long, baby. I can live like this.
Yeah, well, would I like it. So they ask him a few questions. Here's question number two. This is clip number two with the question.
You've talked about the idea of the issues being access as a problem, right? Then there's also the issue of, I guess, confidence. People who basically say, look, this vaccine was developed too fast, and I've got my reservation, so I'm going to wait. That's a not uncommon thing to hear.
It's a great question. And I would say that there are three buckets of reasons why people are not getting vaccinated that we're really focused on. One is access, as we spoke about. And for many people, time off from work, getting a ride to get a vaccine, these are all actually important logistical barriers that they need help overcoming. The second bucket, though, has to do with mobilization. We know that there are a number of people who aren't sure if they still need the vaccine. They see cases coming down, or they think, well, I'm young and healthy, I'm at low risk. Do I really need to get vaccinated? By the way,
are they wrong?
No, this is a great question.
No!
The answer is absolutely yes. It is important to get vaccinated, and I'll go into why in just a second. But the third bucket actually has to do with exactly what you brought up, which is information. We know that about two-thirds of people who are not vaccinated right now either believe some of the commonly held myths that are out there or think they might be true. They're not sure. And some of those myths include, for example, number one, that you don't need to get the COVID vaccine if you've already had COVID.
Oh, okay. Yeah, this is the clip that I had. This what comes next, I think. Wow.
The doctors are now coming out of the woodwork. I didn't take any of these newest clips coming out of the woodwork from health medical schools and everywhere, because this is bullshit. First of all, with this guy, he doesn't answer the question about the person which he initiates. The person who says, well, I don't know, it seems like they rushed the vaccine. It's a weird technology. I don't want to take it. I'm like, why take a chance? He never says anything about that. So I guess that's still valid. You can be that way. But if you think that just because you had it,
that you're safe,
it's a good idea, you're immune. Ah, couldn't be more wrong. Here we go.
And some of those myths include, for example, number one, that you don't need to get the COVID vaccine if you've already had COVID. The answer is you actually absolutely do, because the immunity that you get from natural infection is not nearly as robust, especially against the new variants, as the immunity you get from the vaccine.
Wow. What a liar. That's not science.
She should have, as a reporter for NPR, said to him, what documentation do you have for this assertion?
Yeah. Wow.
He's just lying. This is our Surgeon General appointed by Joe Biden, bald-faced lying.
Yeah. Yeah. No one. And there's a lot of that going on, by the way. There's quite a bit of lying everywhere. That's disappointing. But there you go. Science.
Let's go to clip four.
Okay, hold on.
But in a way, we know what the myths are. I think what we don't know is what's the script you're giving to providers to counter them.
What's the script, baby? Yeah, they need a script.
Because what you guys have right now is like a regional problem, right? You have a lot of southern states where there are less than 40% of people vaccinated.
Just say it. Republicans.
In Mississippi, that number is
33%. Whoa!
Are we looking at a political problem, a red state problem versus a scientific problem?
Oh, there it is.
What we've learned in the last many months is that the key to getting people vaccinated is for them to hear from people they trust. And we're a big, diverse country, and the people we trust and listen to aren't always the same. And that's one of the reasons we've been working so closely with faith leaders, with rural clinics and rural hospitals, teachers and educators, or doctors and nurses. But that's really going to be the key to ensuring that we lift vaccination rates in all parts of the country.
Well, to be fair, he has a quota, 70 million, and I'm sure someone said, bro, it's going to be your head. It's your job. You got to get it done.
Yeah, well, that element probably is in play, but there's no... That element has absolutely nothing to do with the next and last lie that I have here.
Okay.
Which is just another thing that's just deplorable. This guy really makes you lose faith in the government. I think maybe that's the idea. They want us to hate our own government. But let's play clip five.
The Surgeon General is going to take one or two questions from that batch now.
Hi, my name is Christine Stern, 47 of Paso Robles, California. Last week, our public school board announced masks were not required for grades TK through second, ages 4 to 8. But being only kids 12 and up can be vaccinated, I feel like younger children are sitting ducks. What is the real risk of having this age group in school without a mask? Can they transmit the virus?
Oh, they're going to die.
I look, as a dad of young kids, too, and my kids are 4 and 3, and they don't have a vaccine that's available to them, kids under 12 right now. And so we do have to take steps to be cautious. What we've seen is that in schools where masking is actually implemented, we've seen that you're able to actually keep infection rates quite low. And so that's what we've got to do. I think removing the requirement for masks for children who are expecting to go to school and be in close proximity to other children when they don't have a vaccine available to them, that's not consistent with everything that we've learned from a public health and medical perspective about COVID-19.
That's the opposite of everything we learned. Oh, my. Well,
yeah.
I'm glad we're around, man. people need to decode. Well, let's talk to some of the globalists about vaccinating their children.
Well, I'll tell you what, before we do that, can we just play one more clip, just a counter clip to this? And you have to ask yourself, why is this happening?
Mm-hmm.
And what do these nurses know that we don't know? And this is in your neck of the woods.
Texas, baby. Yeah.
The Houston nurses that went out on strike, and they're just not going to take the jab. This is COVID Houston nurses.
They're suspended for 2 weeks without pay and then face that termination. But Jennifer Bridges, the nurse, she says she's willing to take it all the way to the Supreme Court. And by the looks of it today, they have a number of folks backing them up.
We support their right to choose. And we're not going to put up with it. We're going to fight back.
A large group of people gathered outside Baytown Methodist Monday night, supporting several dozen employees who refused to take the mandatory COVID-19 shot by June 7th because it doesn't have full FDA approval.
We should be allowed to make our own decisions.
Jennifer Bridges is the registered nurse who first spoke out, created a petition, and now spearheading a lawsuit against the hospital. Just under 200 employees have signed on to sue as well. Several other employees also standing their ground.
I'm not willing to risk my life to save my job, but I do love what I do. I love Houston Methodist, and it's unfortunate that they're willing to let us go over something like this instead of giving us more time.
Houston Methodist has also stood firm when it comes to its mandatory policy. Part of their latest statement says that almost 100% of its 26,000 employees have complied, also saying, "We have faith that our employees will continue putting our patients first. It is unfortunate that today's milestone of Houston Methodist becoming the safest hospital system in the country is being overshadowed by a few disgruntled employees."
Now
I'm very proud of these Texas nurses. Very good.
Now I would like to mention, point out one thing that came up in the early in that report, which is the catchphrase which the Democrats and liberals and progressive have used for the last 20 years: right to choose.
Yes, exactly.
And it's so ironic that they're the ones that demand you get the jab.
Yeah. Well, you need to shut up because that's science. No, I know. I hope we should be supporting them. I don't know how. Are they out picketing?
Play the clip and
are they picketing?
Good luck.
Send them some pizzas. You know, go hang out. Something's not that far. A couple hours. We have to support people like this. I think that this is a tipping point. Because when you get 200 professionals, it may be more, maybe 2,000 for all we know. When you get that, you know, it's like, people pay attention to it, and it's on the news. So, before I go to the globalists, a couple points of note.
By the way, it's on the local news.
Oh yeah, no, you're right. Of course. Well, that's not true because I thought I had a network clip. Let me see.
I got that from the Houston local station.
Here's ABC America this morning.
Nurses in Houston are protesting their hospital's requirement that they get vaccinated. The nurses have filed a lawsuit against Methodist Hospital and could be fired for resisting the shots.
And then it goes into the...
If we don't stop this now and do some kind of change, everybody's just going to topple. It's going to create a domino effect. Everybody across the nation is going to be forced to get things into their body that they don't want, and that's not right.
That's a pretty good clip for network show.
I like that clip.
All right, that's good. All right, a couple things that you should know. Both the FDA and Gavi, which is the Gates Vaccine Alliance, have posted very important papers why you should not use ivermectin to treat or prevent COVID-19, even though that is exactly what is saving India. Oh, yeah. Here's the FDA. Why you should not use ivermectin to treat or prevent COVID. And right there on the front, they got a nurse with a horse, I guess, implying that it's horse medication.
Oh, horse wormer.
Yeah. What you need to know. Let me see. I think there was ivermectin products for animals are different from ivermectin products for people. So don't take horse drugs, people. That's what they're saying. And then Gavi, which is... I mean, they are a vaccine alliance. This is what they do, is promote vaccinations.
What was the vaccine initiative?
It's called Alliance. It's Gavi, the Vaccine Alliance. That's what it's called.
Okay.
It's not an initiative.
I thought Gavi stood for Gates Vaccine Initiative.
The Vaccine Alliance. These guys, they buy and sell. They're in the business of trading vaccines. What? The vaccines.
They're just brokers?
Yes. It's a big part of what they do. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, here's their post.
Well, brother.
Ivermectin. Why a potential COVID treatment isn't recommended for use. Mm-hmm. The anti-parasitic drug was thought to be a potential treatment for COVID-19, but there isn't sufficient evidence to recommend its use despite widespread support online.
Oh. There's a website that has hundreds of papers on this showing that it's effective.
Yeah, I know. Now, there's one other thing, and this is kind of reminiscent of the 60s, from what I know. Remember, we had missiles and ballistic missiles and anti, everything was, you had a missile, anti this, you had nuke, anti nuke, all these different things. And now we have anti CRISPR proteins, which are naturally occurring. And if you take the anti CRISPR, CRISPR is the gene editing tool that the mRNA is built with. It's like a software programming tool. So from the research that is now coming out, you can take anti-CRISPR proteins that have to be injected, and that stops gene editing. So we can now take...
Oh, I'd like to talk to the woman who invented CRISPR about this being even possible.
Well, this is from the Chemical and Engineering News website. So it looks like it has some credibility to it. But do you know her? Do you know the lady who invented CRISPR?
I know her name. I don't know her. I've never encountered her, but she's around and about. She does give interviews.
Yeah. Let's look at the globalists, because we had the G7 meeting and Biden's over in Europe. And so, of course, we had some shills come out of the woodworks in the UK specifically, since the event was in London. Here is former Prime Minister and Chancellor of the Exchequer, the guy who broke the Bank of England. Here is Gordon Brown.
So when it comes to vaccines and people realize the benefit for the whole world, but particularly also the benefit to Britain, people actually 79% want us to pay a fair share. So I think you've got to look at these overseas aid cuts and think,
what?
If you're pulling away the vaccine or the injection needle.
Okay, maybe I should give a little context.
Wait. Yes, I'm going to ask, because immediately he's talking about one thing and then somehow associates it with getting vaccinated.
Yeah, let me give you some context. This is about sharing the vaccine with the world. This is Joe Biden's 80 million vaccines.
Oh, wait, that's because we got too much. We got to get rid of it and so we don't take a bath.
No, the shit's expiring. It's literally expiring.
That's what I meant.
It's expiring. So.
We got to get rid of it. It's like bad buttermilk. I've only got so much time.
Bad buttermilk. Hold on, I think I had a clip.
Time is running out for a big batch of AstraZeneca vaccines in Ontario. 40.
Fine, that was in Ontario. I thought we had one. Oh, yeah, this is from America. Here we go.
Meanwhile, millions of vaccine doses are set to expire this month because of falling demand across the country.
Yeah, send them to Africa.
That's what we do. It's one of the things we do. It's a very common process America's used. We dump our expiring goods,
exactly,
old drugs and everything else. We send them to Africa.
So again, Gordon Brown talking about the globalists, and this is on the agenda besides the 15% floor for corporate tax global. We need to share the vaccines. We can't have disparity. We need to get the whole world vaccinated. This is really Bill Gates's job to say this, but since he's temporarily indisposed, the elites themselves come out.
So when it comes to vaccines and people realize the benefit for the whole world, but particularly also the benefit to Britain, people actually 79% want us to pay a fair share. So I think you've got to look at these overseas aid cuts and think, if you're pulling away the vaccine or the injection needle from children and adults who need vaccinated and putting their lives at risk, then that's not a good thing. And there is not public support for that. And on Friday at the G7, we will decide effectively who lives and who dies, who is to be vaccinated and is therefore safe, and who is not to be vaccinated and therefore is at risk.
Do you think he like gets hard when he says that shit?
This guy really should be. I mean, I can see how revolutions took place in the past. And you really get to the point of hating people like this.
I mean, when you, what arrogance? We effectively determine whether people live or when they die. That's just so you know, I have that power. I'm that powerful. Let me hear that again. Love that guy. Where'd he go? Anyway, I lost
it. Back under a rock.
Yeah. Here's the question about vaccinating his own children from this reporter. Let's see if he answers or kind of dances around it.
How are you feeling about vaccinations for kids in the UK? I can't remember how old your children are now. They're always toddlers when I think about them. But are you happy for them to have their vaccinations?
Yes, of course. And they're teenagers. And if the medical advice is that the teenagers and young children have got to be vaccinated, then we should do so. But I do say there is enough potential for producing vaccine around the world. So you don't have to make a choice between vaccinating the 12-year-old and vaccinating older people and nurses and health workers in other countries. We've got to be able to do both. And that's the importance of having a plan. And I've set out a plan. Norway and South Africa have put this plan forward as well, that the G7 can make sure that everybody is vaccinated by making a decision on Friday, not just hoping through dose sharing, but funding it to make sure it actually happens. And I don't think there's a family in this country who will say that children and adults in other countries who need it should not have vaccines.
Ooh, heartstrings. But he didn't really say he's going to vaccinate his kids. He just, oh, of course, yeah. Sure. And Tony Blair is the other, and he's the massive globalist. He has the Tony Blair Institute for Global Change. And earlier this week, the TBI FGC, Tony Blair Institute for Global Change, released a white paper. White paper. Less risk, more freedom regarding the reduction of restrictions for the vaccinated and reopening travel. And before we listen to Tony Blair, I'd like to tell you who the partners are of the Blair Institute for Global Change. I will just pick a few out. The Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Microsoft Philanthropies, and the Lawrence Ellison Foundation, i.e. Oracle. And then we'll throw in the Rockefellers and a couple other things. So it feels to me like there's some technology partners in here, which would be Microsoft and Oracle. They're well represented. And let's have Tony Blair tell us exactly about this important paper that he has now released.
Mr. Blair, you've been advising ministers in public and in private. Looking at all the data you can see, do you think we're going to open up on the 21st of June?
I think it's uncertain at the moment, and the paper we're putting out today is saying we should really distinguish between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. So both here at home, if we do have to adjust some of the freedoms because of the...
Adjust your freedoms. That's my favorite. Adjust your freedoms.
At home, if we do have to adjust some of the freedoms because of the rising pressure from new variants, then it's important at least to ensure that those people who are vaccinated have the maximum freedom they can. And I think that could also be done for travel as well.
Is it acceptable to turn down a vaccine, do you think?
Unless you've got a good medical reason, my view very clearly is no. And I think that's why it's important to give people a real incentive to get vaccinated. Because, you know, if you are vaccinated, the evidence is absolutely clear. It reduces the risk of transmission and it reduces the risk of hospitalization or death.
So would you make them mandatory?
I don't think you can make them mandatory, but I think, and this is what we're suggesting today, by making it clear that, for example, if you are vaccinated, if you're double vaccinated, it should be much easier to come in and out of the country. And indeed, round the world, I think you will find that countries start to distinguish between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. So in Europe, for example, they're going to allow you to travel freely within Europe if you're double vaccinated.
The trouble is, this does create, does it not, a two-tier society between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. Looking at your own paper, says that if you haven't been vaccinated, you won't be able to go to nightclubs and theatres and big sporting events and many other places. So you will be discriminated against.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the word discrimination
is good.
Now, he even addresses the actual term discrimination.
Yeah, he says it's discrimination.
Yeah, listen.
Well,
Society between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. Looking at your own paper says that if you haven't been vaccinated, you won't be able to go to nightclubs and theatres and big sporting events and many other places. So you will be discriminated against.
Yeah, but I think, you know, the word discrimination has got a very loaded meaning in the English language now. But really, when it comes to risk management, it's all about discrimination. So the reason we vaccinate elderly people first is they're more at risk. The reason why we ensure that people are vaccinated is because it then reduces the risk of transmission, not merely of you getting ill yourself, but of you passing on the disease. So I think since everybody's going to be able to get the vaccination, other than those, as I say, who for medical reasons can't, then I think it really is important that people get encouraged to get vaccinated. And we also make suggestions as to how we can make sure you get proper proof of vaccination. I mean, actually, the NHS X people have done a good job in the NHS app, but we need to make that interoperable with other systems so that you can use this as proof of vaccination throughout the world.
That's what it's about. I don't think they'll pull it off, but yeah.
But of course not. But and the thing is, because there's still the gotcha. Here's the clip on the EU COVID passports, and listen carefully, because something you identified early on is right in there.
The European Union has signed off on a new coronavirus travel certificate aimed at opening up the 27-nation bloc for summer travel. Currently, traveling across the EU is difficult for tourists, airlines, and authorities because of differing regulations. But beginning July 1st, EU nations will have to recognize the vaccine certificate, which can take paper or digital form. The free passes will certify a person has either been vaccinated against the virus, recently tested negative, or recovered from the disease.
Yeah. But they're adding a twist. So indeed, all of these vaccine freedom passports will also work if you have proof of a negative test. What they're doing now is they're tightening the time frame. It has to be within 48 hours. It was within 72 hours. So now people traveling by car, for instance, they may have to get tested multiple times, depending on how long their journey is, or even if you're transferring from one flight to the other. So they're going to keep squeezing that, but they will leave it open. They'll leave it open. But Tony Blair, I think he's serious. He really wants a global system, which I don't think they can
pull. He's a fascist prick. And we've known that for years.
But the testing company, so now in the UK, if you open up the newspaper, you'll see they have packages. You can buy testing packages. That you get it one to your house, or you know it's all set up, but they're expensive, like £100-125. So they're trying to, now we've got the testing companies, Abbott and those guys. They're coming in and they're coming up with all kinds of new ways.
They'll be lowballing soon.
Of course it is. As long as we can keep selling something, it doesn't matter to them. So that's on the horizon. Now back to the variants. The variants. Everything is about a variant this, a variant that. But it's not just about COVID.
Good afternoon, everyone. Today, the FBI successfully seized criminal proceeds from a Bitcoin wallet that DarkSide ransomware actors used to collect a cyber ransom payment from a victim. Since last year, we've been pursuing an investigation into DarkSide, a Russia-based cybercrime group. The DarkSide ransomware variant is one of more than 100 ransomware variants that the FBI is currently investigating.
Sorry about the one channel only. So now all of a sudden they're using variants for ransomware? Isn't that interesting?
I've heard about podcasting 2.0 variants.
Yes, it's very contagious. And what does it remind you?
Podcasting 2.1.
And what does it remind you of when you hear variants?
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's just trigger. It's a trigger word.
Because?
And improve our preparedness for a potential cyber pandemic.
The potential cyber pandemic. Here we go. No, this is exactly what they want.
Now, you know, my thinking on this joker, the PR guy for the World Economic Forum who created it, is that he doesn't even know. This reminds me of an old practical of April Fool's gang I did about drunk driving on the information superhighway. I don't know that he even understands what he's trying to say. He is so dumb.
Oh, of course. But isn't he an old marketing guy? I think he's good at that. He understands these terms and he's in the position where he can say, okay, we're going to call this a pandemic, and we go from the COVID-19 pandemic to the cyber pandemic, and we know that all the ransomware is already in place. It's in every single system. We've had too many hacks. Everything is open. It's just sitting there waiting to go for the right moment. They could do them all in dominoes. They could do it, bit by bit. Of course, you want to hit the main points. You want to get infrastructure for power because, Texas is stupid. We need to have a national grid. You need to get the meat because, meat is bad anyway.
I have to stop you again and reiterate the idea of a net instead of just this local dumb Texans getting hit hard by the, we want to have a national grid.
Yes.
So the whole country goes down at once.
That would be part of the plan.
What
yes.
kind of logic is this?
Well,
why do people promote the idea of a giant national grid?
I would say the main reason is because they have no idea what they're talking about. They're stupid. And I'm going to take you through a few quick, very short clips of CBS 60 Minutes talking to, who are they talking to here? Mike Christman. Well, maybe the intro tells us who he is. And this is about ransomware, and there's so much wrong in this.
The FBI's Mike Christman says cyber crooks know governments and hospitals are likely to pay because they can't afford not to. Until a promotion, Christman was in charge of the FBI's cybercrime unit.
Until a promotion!
Oh. By the way, this is a good... I saw this, and I didn't clip it. I'm glad you did.
Props to the clip custodian. He's the guy that sits and watches this crap all day.
You're waiting for the day that somebody says we have the 911 system held hostage in a major city and we need $10 million today.
I hope that day never comes, but I think we should prepare for that possibility.
Cyber pandemic, everybody. Cyber pandemic. Let's remind you it's a pandemic.
The joke of this one particular commentary is 911 goes down all around the country all the time. Yeah. It's like half the time it doesn't work.
And in Austin,
or somebody's really careless and somebody gets blowed up because there was nobody ever showed up or didn't get the address right. I mean, come on, this is not a good example.
In Austin, they don't even answer. As part of the defunding, they took the 911 system away from the police department. It's now within the city government. And it's not quite up to snuff yet. Now back to the pandemic, be very afraid, cyber pandemic. Let's remind you with some trigger words.
I'm aware of one ransomware variant that affected all 50 states that had some $30 million in losses and over $6 million in ransom payments. I would tell you that the losses are very significant and easily approach $100 million or more just in the United States.
That ransomware variant he's talking about.
Okay, stop a second. Now, first of all, I mean, this is, now I'm getting annoyed that since you pointed this out, amongst the audience, myself included, this idea that the word variant is just a code word to get people jacked up.
Yeah.
The idea of a ransomware variant is like a word processing variant. Ransomware is a category of software.
Yeah.
There's no variants. There's different versions.
Yeah, you can have a version.
Yeah, versions be versioning that.
Yeah, version.
So this is a misuse of the word from the get go, and Steve or Pelly,
Scott Pelly.
Yes, Steve. Yeah. Scott Pelly.
Steve Pelly.
It's now Steve Pelly. Steve Pelly should be ashamed of himself for being such a lousy journalist to let this happen, because it's a category of software. It's not something. It's not a software. You know what? It's just unbelievable to me that this is the best we can do at CBS and under top news show 60 Minutes.
Remember, this is the FBI themselves who are using this word, so they're the ones probably that propagated it.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll go back.
But we don't know for sure.
$100 million or more.
Stop again. If it was the FBI who propagated it, it should be Steve Pelly's job to call him out on it. Not go, okay, whatever.
What do you think he is, a podcaster? He's a professional journalist. That's not how it works, John. It's not how journalism works. Okay?
I'll shut up.
I would tell you that the losses are very significant and easily approach $100 million or more just in the United States.
That ransomware variant he's talking about is the one that held Hancock Hospital hostage. It's called SamSam, after one of its file names. Experts told Steve Long SamSam is unbreakable.
There was nothing that we could do to unlock those files. Our only choice was to wipe the system and hope that we had backups, or to purchase the decryption keys.
To pay the ransom.
Indeed, that is exactly what that means.
But SamSam had infected the hospital's backup files. The FBI advised Long not to pay, but after 2 days, after his staff filled out 10,000 pieces of paper, he paid the ransom. The crooks demanded digital money, known as Bitcoin. Ransomware is possible only because Bitcoin is so difficult to trace.
Ah, okay. Let's stop right there. This is the one thing that our producers need to understand. Many of them do. Bitcoin is, in fact, completely easy to trace. The whole point of Bitcoin is that all that information is out there and available. So it and if you read the FBI, the affidavit, that was actually the warrant, that was the filing for the warrant, they say, hey, you know, it's like we were in there. We were there with the company. They paid. So, of course, the FBI was in on it. That's already suspicious point number one. And we could track that payment. And then a little piece of that, about 20, 22 Bitcoin, went to one wallet. And then 73 went to a custodial wallet, which is likely, since it was in San Francisco, likely Coinbase or one of these other companies. And for if you're that stupid as a Bitcoiner and you put it on exchange, you've got to know that, of course, the FBI can just get those keys. In fact, the warrant says the private keys for that Bitcoin wallet, that address, are in our possession. Of course they have that. So you really have to think, is this even more like a six-week cycle in this case? And now, now that we know that JBS paid $11 million ransom in Bitcoin, let's see if the genius FBI is able to get that as well. I suspect they might, because the way they're doing it is that, I mean, if this was a six-week cycle inside job FBI doing this for relevance, which, by the way, kind of goes against the narrative, I'd set it up that way. You know, pay us, and then we pay the hackers who actually do all the, you know, the Russian-based guys, give them their VIG and get the rest and look like heroes. Ho-ho, we can do it all. But to say that it's so hard or it's so good for anonymity, no, the opposite is true. But okay, that's the message.
Tom Pace runs NetRise, a cybersecurity firm based in Austin, Texas.
Yeah.
So this isn't a crook sitting in front of a desktop, breaking a sweat, trying to break into somebody's system. This is something they unleash that's automated, and they sit back and drink coffee until they get the results.
That certainly appears to be the rule, not the exception.
Appears.
Making the coffee may be the hard part. Pace showed us a website that offers ransomware for rent. An attacker can use one of many illicit products here, and the website takes a cut if ransom is paid.
And something else that's interesting here is they actually provide you with basically a chat room where you can ask questions to the people who maintain this architecture for you.
Frequently asked questions for criminals.
Exactly.
So Tom Pace logged on to the site and used it to encrypt a network of his own.
So all of the files that are on this system have now been successfully encrypted.
So this took you just slightly over 5 minutes, and you didn't write a single line of code.
Correct.
Off the shelf.
Off the shelf.
Cyber pandemic, everybody. It's coming. It's coming.
You know, I think he kind of passed up a good one.
Okay.
He says frequently asked questions for criminals.
Mm-hmm.
He could have said facts for hacks.
Ooh. Are you writing that one down? Are you writing it down? Are you writing it down? I like it.
Facts for hacks.
Facts for hacks. I like that a lot. Something that got very little coverage for the vastness of what this was I just have to play 34 seconds because it may be related when it comes to, let's just say the FBI, this wasn't a six-week cycle we're doing it ourselves. How would they come across some information about a password to an account that held a private key? Well, this little story.
A worldwide high-tech sting led by the FBI and involving New Zealand police has dealt a huge blow to criminals both here and across the globe. Operation Trojan Shield included big international players. America's FBI, the DEA or Drug Enforcement Agency, Europol, the EU's crime-fighting agency, Australian and New Zealand police, and other partners in more than a dozen countries. In one of the world's biggest organized crime operations, underworld figures and crime gangs were tricked into communicating using an encrypted app developed by the FBI. This included planning executions, drug smuggling, and money laundering.
You gotta love it. It was those phones that they were selling. How dumb are these criminals?
Ugh. That whole ransomware for lease website could be FBI. It could be a giant honeypot.
Remember,
they can hire the talent to do it.
Cyber pandemic. I'm just saying, if that was the mission, then they're doing things right. Let's listen to another quick disinformation clip from ABC.
A new task force at the Justice Department appears to have scored a rare win against ransomware hackers.
I really don't know who this is, but I'm really... Oh, it's Ike Ejiochi. Ike Ejiochi talks like this when he's doing his voiceovers.
The department says it's now recovered most of the ransom paid to hackers who disrupted the nation's largest gas pipeline last month.
Today, we deprived a cyber criminal enterprise of the object of their activity, their financial proceeds and funding.
Russia-based hackers are suspected of shutting down the Colonial Pipeline, which supplies 45% of all fuel to the East Coast. To regain control of their systems, Colonial paid more than $4 million in Bitcoin. On Monday, the Justice Department said it seized 63.7 Bitcoins, which is the equivalent of $2.3 million, more than half the ransom payment.
So that's, I'm just pointing this out because Bitcoin went down since it was paid, so that's why it's less than the original payment, but they don't make mention of that.
More than half the ransom payment.
Bitcoin was designed to be, to put it easily, it's untraceable. It's designed to be untraceable.
No, you can read the white paper. That is a lie. It was not designed to be untraceable. The opposite.
I think this is your next pet, never-ending pet peeve. Very similar to the one where. Well, my job is to protect the American public.
Yes, my top job. I took an oath to protect the American public. Job,
I took an oath.
This is Bitcoin. It was designed not to be traceable. The blatant lie.
Cryptocurrency is favored by cyber criminals because it allows for direct online payments regardless of location.
True.
But in this case, FBI agents obtained the private key or password for the cyber.
No, private key is not a password.
Or password for the cyber criminal's cryptocurrency wallet.
This is a first, as far as I know. How they did it, I think they're keeping very close to the chest, so to speak.
Yeah, well, we know they have two possible, maybe many more, but it could have been part of that massive sting operation, which we have not. We don't know who got arrested. We just have some top line stuff.
I'm getting the more you play this, you know, because I heard this show and I've heard all this. There's nothing new in these clips. What's new is the introduction of the concept that this all is a giant FBI scam.
Mm-hmm.
Once you brought the six-week cycle up, well, maybe it's more than that. Maybe everything we're witnessing here, because it accomplishes so much. It blames Russia, and I wonder whether Biden's read in, and if he was, I wonder if he even remembered being read in. So he's going to go confront Putin about this, and Putin's going to, I don't know what Putin's going to do, but this is going to be too funny to, if you wish you were a fly on the wall, but and could speak Russian. This is really, now I'm getting very suspicious about all of this, including the entire ransomware, because ransomware was like a thing some time back, and most of these antiviral and anti-malware software systems will stop it if there's something that even remotely looks like it. It's very hard. I mean, I don't know if anybody's gotten, and now all of a sudden it's cropping up all over the place with this very elaborate scheme and this website, which now they've discovered, which has the ransomware for lease, and they're using the word variant. This is very suspicious all around.
In talking to several dudes named Ben who don't sleep well at night, thinking about these things. Individuals, you're right, that's most of the even most computers themselves, they could be pretty well protected, even in the IT environment. It's when you have a Windows network exchange server. Once you get into the Windows domain and someone has an admin account, it's all over. You can get anywhere. And again, the concept is they're in. They're in everywhere. All they need to do is just push buttons. Just push buttons, whatever you want. And here is some of the desired result. So remember, when this first happened, it's about infrastructure. It's about stupid Texans. We need a global grid. It's about Bitcoin being untraceable only for cyber criminals and for illicit activity. And it's about global warming and Russia. Yeah, and you threw that in. And so it's really four pieces. It's a beautiful, beautiful system. And let's talk to...
And it uses the word variant to make sure you're triggered about the COVID vaccine.
That is the connector. Yep. And the cyber pandemic. Remember, they've been saying this cyber pandemic. None of this was happening until long after Klaus recorded that video. Here's our energy secretary.
Do you think that adversaries of the United States have the capability right now to shut down the power grid?
Yeah, they do. I mean, I think that there are very malign actors who are.
When I heard malign, to me, that's almost like another infectious type thing. Like you have malignant tumor, maligned, or am I reading too much into it now?
Yeah, you're probably reading too much into it, but I can see it. I can see you being triggered.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do. I mean, I think that there are very malign actors who are trying, even as we speak, there are thousands of attacks on all aspects of the energy sector and the private sector generally. I mean, the meat plant, for example, it's happening all the time. And this is why the private sector.
Sorry.
I was just going to say, do you remember it was about 25 years ago, there was this product you could buy. I knew the people that made it. There were, it's a little thing. It was a little add on. It would show you all the attacks that were going after your system called, the only thing that comes to mind is AutoZone, but that's not the name of this. If somebody in the troll room knows what I'm talking about, it was a little system you could buy, and it's it was showed that
zone alarm. Mm-hmm. Thank you, troll.
So it was just bang, bang, bang. You for like hundreds of times an hour. Some system was randomly trying to penetrate every machine out there.
Yeah.
This is not new.
Yeah, but it sounds good. It sounds good.
This woman makes it sound like some new thing, Russian based. And this has been going on with the network for
forever.
Since
TCP/IP was invented.
Okay.
Stay tuned.
You better wrap this up pretty soon because I'm going to start busting things. I'm going to start throwing something at the monitor.
The affiliates, ladies and gentlemen.
Alert the affiliates. John's going to break his mic.
It's happening all the time. And this is why the private sector and the public sector have to work together. And this is what the president is doing. He's working with our allies. He's working with countries around the world because other countries, even Russia, they don't want to see their sectors attacked by malign actors, by rogue non-state actors, not to mention state actors. So working with other countries, working with the private sector, working inside of our own government, the president has issued these executive orders to make sure that our own house is in order, making sure that citizens are able to protect themselves. My mother, who's 86 years old, got two weeks ago a cyber, not a ransomware, but she, was hacked.
my grandmother was hacked. They hacked her.
Grandmother was hacked.
Yeah, it wasn't ransomware, but
proof.
She was a hack. I know exactly what happened. She got an email that said, I saw what you do. I access your computer's camera. I have the video. Unless you send me one Bitcoin, I'm going to show all your nasty video. Okay, so that is infrastructure. Now let's go. So we've had, the pandemic link with variant. We have Russia. We have the infrastructure. Let's go to global warming. And all of a sudden, out of the woodwork, ladies and gentlemen, there she is. Elizabeth Warren is back.
We've talked a lot today about the dangers that cryptocurrencies pose to our economy.
Danger.
We've talked about the ripoffs, the instability, the extent to which they're used to help criminals with cyber attacks, like the attack on Colonial Pipeline and JBS. But there's another piece too, the adverse environmental impacts of the computing activity used to mint many of these digital currencies in the first place. Bitcoin consumes more energy than entire countries, and it is projected to consume as much energy as all the data centers in the whole world this year.
Hold on.
Just let that sink in.
here's where's the proof of this?
Oh, in fact, the proof is quite the opposite. Bitcoin consumes 0.1% of the global energy, which is like 140.
Where does this come from? Where does this myth come from?
This comes from Elon Musk when he
is trying to get everyone to bail out.
This, yes.
Oh, no, he's virtue signaling by lying.
Yes, and this comes back
signaling by lying.
And this comes back to the ESG, the environmental sustainability goals, which will be your carbon tax metric that's coming. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, so then Elon started with the MicroStrategies guy. Oh, we're going to tag Bitcoin if it was made with hydropower or renewables or with dirty coal. There's very little coal energy powering Bitcoin anymore. Most of the Chinese stuff is hydro and it hasn't been banned. It's moved to, they're not allowed to use coal in Texas. Crazy industry with people going with containers to the gas fields using the methane gas, which actually reduces carbon emission. But it doesn't matter. These metrics, these lies are out there and you will hear them forever.
It is projected to consume as much energy as all the data centers in the whole world this year.
This year.
Wow. One Bitcoin transaction, a single purchase, sale, or transfer.
This is my favorite.
Uses the same amount of electricity as the typical U.S. household uses in more than a month.
Yeah. Okay. Sure, Liz.
This is the stupidity of a U.S. senator.
Senior
U.S. senator. In the United States of America, one of the leaders of this country.
Well, she has a mission, though.
And she's just blathering bull crap.
And, well, she did this with experts. It was a 10-minute video of her asking experts. And these experts were quite annoyed by her questioning as well, but they were answering her truthfully. But this is not the experts talking. This is her metrics.
More than a month.
Say that again?
Yep. A single Bitcoin transaction, that's one purchase or one sale or one transfer.
One pizza.
Uses the same amount of electricity as the typical U.S. household uses.
It doesn't even make sense.
I think the estimate is 53 days.
Wow. It's a lie. Yeah. It's a complete lie. What she's referring to is the metric for mining a Bitcoin, one single coin for each block. That's not a single transaction. It doesn't matter. I mean, we could. There's enough Bitcoin podcasts.
It's beside the point.
Yeah, it is.
It's nonsense that makes no sense, and she's yakking about it. To what end? She's scheme. Bitcoin.
Yes, here it is. I'm going to give it to you. The second clip. So, besides being, you know, pulling out the, this is just, she's just using this as a crutch for her mission. You'll recall at the beginning of COVID, that first Democrat bill, which had all the social justice warrior crap in there. Remember that was like $2 trillion and it got shot down. And then all the Green New Deal stuff was in there. You remember that bill?
Oh, yeah. Okay. It was a bill with us for infrastructure. Was this the infrastructure, pre-infrastructure? Whatever it was, it had nothing to do with what it said it was about.
Correct.
It was an omnibus crap bill.
One of the main points in there, sponsored by Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Sandy Ocasio-Cortez, was the digital dollar. We need that for the universal basic income and for all other reasons, you know, the racist on between digital dollars and countries, and, you know, the Federal Reserve and the Treasury are looking at this. Of course, they have to. This is what Warren is doing. She's pushing this, and here's how.
From the research you and your colleagues at MIT have done, is it possible to design a central bank digital currency that does not require miners to perform random number generation puzzles?
Yes, it is.
And could you design it so it wouldn't consume more energy than a middle-sized country?
Yes, you can.
And could we have a central bank digital currency that doesn't exacerbate the climate crisis and undermine environmental justice?
Oh, I think you could build a central bank digital currency which does not consume vast amounts of energy, yes.
Good. I'm glad to hear this. Look, cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin are terrible for the environment. And that would be true regardless of whether we were getting anything productive out of that energy usage or not. The fact that we're not makes it even more scandalous. One of the easiest and least disruptive things we can do to address the climate crisis is crack down on environmentally wasteful cryptocurrencies. And now is the time to do it.
Yeah, get yourself your CBDC, your central bank digital coin. It's a coming. And she's
full
pushing.
Of crap, this woman.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's really pathetic. I mean, I'm still remembering when she was making a big fuss about robocalls. How well has that stopped thanks to her?
Yes, that was one of your pet peeves. It never stopped.
No, it got worse. I got four. One of them from, I got this Marriott Hotel one for free stay, and I got the bad purchase from Amazon. It has to be stopped. It was somebody bought something in Texas or someplace else, and did I approve it? They got to talk to me about it and walk me through the website they got. And
oh yeah,
there's a couple other ones.
The ones I get is you're not in Google's business directory listing.
I got that one.
I still get a lot.
They took my social security number away. That's my favorite.
Oh yeah, that's a good one. No, I got, of course, my car, my extended warranty is expired.
Oh, the warranty, yeah, the car warranty is a good classic. This is your last chance, by the way, your last chance.
Here's the
one.
We've
been trying to get a hold of you.
Here's the one I really hate, because it feels like it's really good, but every single time I hang up, because it just feels like a scam. Maybe some of our producers can help me. You answer, and it's a local number. Hello, and then you hear, you know, the gate close, and you're waiting, and sort of, hey, hello, is this Adam? And then a real person. It's always a guy with a heavy voice. And yes, well, we're doing a fundraiser for the police something or other or something.
Oh, yeah,
or something.
Police.
And now this is not tax deductible, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I don't know what that is, but it smells like a scam. I don't like that one. And I've gone pretty far listening to him, like, you know, because they're pushing. So, well, why don't you send me some information? Yeah, well, why don't we take your credit card now and we'll send you some information.
Here's an admission. It's not a big deal. I worked in a boiler room.
Oh. For what
product? Pretty much doing that scam.
For which product?
Local fire department.
So you can tell me. So you can tell me. Good.
It's semi-legit. They get some money. The boiler room gets most of it. And you could just tell them that, no, I'm not interested, and hang up on them.
Yeah.
I mean, the way they do it with the police department ones, which is runs through the same kind of operations, was they try to guilt you into thinking that if you don't contribute, you're going to get pulled over as soon as you leave your house and get a ticket.
Yeah.
And the cops are going to hate you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the way it works. Just tell them no. You say you've given before and you weren't happy. You do what you used to do with I hate whales. Say I hate the police. See how that goes over.
And here's the answer. No, I'm all for defunding the police, and it starts here.
You could do that.
Yep.
But then you just get on a different phone list and they'd be calling you about something else.
Now,
it's hopeless, these things.
Before I close this out with two humorous clips, an interesting alert crossed my desk from the Office of the Private Sector, a liaison information report. It's an official government institution, the Office of the Private Sector. I didn't even know it existed. And I think this is a troll, and I think it's hilarious. The FBI, and this, I have the actual document, and so I'll put it in the show notes so people can take a look at it. The FBI's Washington field office, in coordination with the FBI Office of Private Sector and the United States Postal Inspection Service, developed this LIR, Liaison Information Report, to inform private sector partners about recently mailed extortion threats targeting companies in emerging technology and the pharmaceutical industry. I thought that was interesting. In April 2021, the FBI became aware of a number of extortion threat letters, which were sent primarily to senior-level executives of publicly traded technology and pharmaceutical companies. The letters provide the recipient with the options to earn their freedom by providing company stock information, or, this is my favorite, or purchase their freedom at the cost of $1 million in stablecoin. USDC stablecoin. This has to be a joke. USDC stablecoin is on Coinbase. You can only get it on Coinbase. So it's a completely open system. The FBI can walk right in and find out who you are, unless this is a huge troll.
Well, hold on a second.
Or the FBI again.
There you go. And the FBI has the ability to actually have that kind of inside information, because there was... Traditionally, the FBI under J. Edgar Hoover became a blackmailing operation.
Yeah. Never ended.
So now you're dealing with a blackmailing operation.
But in stablecoin is laughable. You might as well just say, pay me and here's my address. Come and get me. Yeah.
It's my post office box. So I feel safe because it's a post office box.
So I don't know if that's a troll.
You'll never find me because I'm using a post office box.
I like the idea this is all just the FBI. It fits so perfectly. Anyway, let's finish this up with some more cyber pandemic fear. And we saw the Fastly CDN go down, again proving my point that we need to decentralize away from all this bull crap. No Agenda show didn't go down. No Agenda website didn't go down. No Agenda MP3s didn't go down. No Agenda social didn't go down. Uh-uh. Why? Because we're decentralized from most of this stuff. And if not, then we can make very quick changes if necessary. Here is the man you want to talk to when it comes to internet outages or glitches. Brian Seltzerwater from CNN. You know he's the guy to go to.
It might be largely over now, but what's the collateral damage here?
Well, if it feels like this is happening more often, that's because it is happening more often. This was one of the most widespread outages we've ever seen because it took down everything from Hulu and HBO Max to Spotify and CNN and the BBC. And as you're saying, even government websites. And this was also notable because it was not restricted to one part of the world. This was affecting users in Europe, in the United States, in parts of Asia and Africa, all at the same time. Essentially, what happened is Fastly installed a bad software update, and its bad software update then spread and had that ripple effect. You know, originally, the reason why you have these content delivery networks like Fastly that are close physically to people's homes and access points is to speed up the internet, is to make web pages and songs and everything play faster on your phones and computers. But when it goes down hard. And that's what we saw earlier today. It's a reminder that there are only a small number of these cloud computing firms that are keeping essentially the entire internet online.
That may be your internet, Seltzer Water, not our internet.
When I say that, I mean the entire consumer internet. Of course, there's lots of redundancies, lots of different parts of the internet. But when you think about these major players, whether it's Hulu or Spotify or Reddit, all these big companies, they rely on the same handful of firms. So in the words of Recode, it's both the scale today and the frequency of these outages that is what's worrisome.
And this did come on the heels of me wishing that television networks would get ransomware. Wasn't ransomware, but at least we had a little blip, a little feeling of what it would be like to not have any television. And finally, Brian Seltzerwater, techno expert, introduces a new term to replace the overused glitch. Even though he's an a-hole and a horrible journalist, he may not even have the title journalist, At least he's trying.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I just point out beyond everything you couldn't get done, right? This did affect the vaccine rollout in the UK. And of course, that is something that people just can't afford, especially given what's going on right now. Now, unequivocally, I'd say, and I'm sure you'd
notice a little call back again to the pandemic. You know, we've got the, oh, it's disrupting the one pandemic's disrupting the other.
Going on right now. Now, unequivocally, I'd say, and I'm sure you'd agree, this proves the internet is infrastructure. It's not really safeguarded nearly as well as it should be, right?
In this case, there's no evidence this was a cyber attack, a case of ransomware. This seems to have just been a company that made with a big hiccup.
Hiccup.
Everybody then heard.
Right, but doesn't it make you nervous? It makes me nervous, Brian. Doesn't it make you nervous? You said it was like a software update.
Yes, because of all the scrambling in so many corners. Here at CNN, we started trying to figure out, how do we get news onto the website? How do we share it on social media? You know, you had newsroom scrambling, you had consumer entertainment companies scrambling, and government scrambling. Because when your website suddenly goes down, the viewers at home, you know, we have no idea what's going wrong. You have to wait to actually find out. Sometimes you might assume the worst. In this case, it seems like it was not the worst case scenario, but it is a reminder of how vulnerable this infrastructure is.
Vulnerable, the infrastructure. It's all in there. Every single piece they want is in there. I like hiccup. That's new. Instead of saying glitch, a hiccup. It was only an hour. Hiccup. It was an hour, so I think it's appropriate to call it a hiccup. Yeah, so what will the next one be? I can't wait. We're going to see more. It's going to be super duper fun. Super duper fun. Yeah.
And stick with super duper.
Super duper. Super duper fun. And with that,
super duper.
I'd like to thank you for your courage and say in the morning to you, the man who put the C in cyber pandemic, ladies and gentlemen. Dr. John C. Dvorak.
Well, in the morning to you, Mr. Adam Curry. Also, in the morning, all ships, sea blues on the ground, feeding the air, subs in the water. And all the dames and knights out there.
And we like to say in the morning to all the trolls. Trolls, raise your hands. Time for a troll count.
Troll count. 20.
And they scurry away. They scurry away. Okay, I'm not able to do a troll count. For some reason, I've been removed of my powers. Somebody give me a troll count.
Are you
count.
On the regular network? Or are you on
No, that? I don't know what's going on. I mean, maybe because I had to change networks or something. All right. Well, if there's no troll count, I can't do a count. There's no
2233.
One. 2233. We're going to count on that and see if that's it. Now, if you want to also not have a troll count, go to noagendastream.com.
Oh, actually, it's Thursday. I'm sorry.
No, it's going to be 1800.
Wrong number.
It's more like 1800.
1855.
Let me see. Hold on a second. Maybe I can do it over here. 1675. Oof.
1675. That's a lot.
That's low. No, it's low. Normally it's 18 on Thursday.
Oh, it's 18. You're right. Normally it's mostly 18. No, it's low. Yeah. No, we're way off. We're losing our audience.
This is because of the COVID. The COVIDs are killing COVID. Us. Trolls.
They all say, oh, you're doing too much COVID. We stopped doing COVID. And they go, well, let's go find something else.
Let's go listen to Tim Pool. I know. That's what they do. NoAgendaStream.com. You can check in there. You can troll along. You can hang out with hundreds, sometimes thousands of people listening to all of the live shows. We do have a live stream, NoAgendaStream.com. You will not regret checking that out. Free for all. Enjoy yourself. Or follow us on our non-algoized federated network, federated website, social website, which is noagendasocial.com. Now, you can't register, but because we federate with Mastodon, everything else that connects to that, the so-called Fediverse, you can indeed.
Where's the central location for the federation to take place?
There is no central location.
Is there some place where you can ping to make sure you can go find the other guys?
Yeah, all you have to do is follow one person at adam@noagendasocial.com or at johncdvorak@noagendasocial.com, and the instance that you are on will start to bring in into the federated timeline, will start to bring stuff in. And you can follow people from other servers as well. You can follow us. And then, you know, so then before you know it, stuff just starts flowing over. I know because we have a noagendasocial.com. I also have podcastindex.social, which is really for the development of podcasting 2.0. And that overlap is so seamless sometimes, I don't know if I'm answering someone on one side or the other. I mean, I'm very impressed with how well that works. And we do have a couple other, I think Gitmo.life, not Gitmolife.com, but Gitmo.life is at least one, and ITM slaves or inthemorningslaves.com. And we're looking for many, many more. And then we shall say in the morning to the artist who brought us the artwork for episode 1353. We titled it Lousy Hummus. And we had a hit, I would say. People really like the Amazon Prime weed delivery package that was expertly done by TSN. Now, has TSN had any artwork chosen before? I think TSN did
one of the No Agenda Pabst labels. I don't know if it was chosen. He did a nice Obey. I'm looking at his stuff. He's got a good collection of... he may have had a couple of things picked here and there because he's good. He's not a slouch. And he's done a lot of, he's done enough pieces where there's more than one page of them.
There were a lot of different Amazon weed things. We had comic strip blogger was a little too blatant, just the big weed. I mean, it was beautiful. The prime weed, it had all the,
I thought comic strip bloggers was the first one that got my attention. Mm-hmm. And I thought he's had a winner there. And then when I saw the bag,
yeah.
It just had more to it. It had little stickers and stuff. It was just a well thought out, great piece of art. And then the competition, of course, were the bats. A
lot of bats. I'd used one bat for the pre-show art.
And the bat you used was the cutest of the bunch, and you were considering using it again. It was so cute.
Yeah, and you said, no, I want to use that for a newsletter. Did you?
No, I didn't. Okay. But I did use another piece for the newsletter from the same guy. Nestworks mm-hmm. seems to have like a knack for creating what I consider some of the great newsletter artworks. Mm-hmm. And I think I've used this stuff for the last three or four newsletters in a row. And I still have my eye on a number of other ones he's done. He did the cow with the mask.
Oh, that was good too. That was good too.
He's the one with the pretty cricket with the wine glass. He's got a lot of really good pieces. People should look at his stuff.
At least we didn't get any more Tantanil submissions with the evolution of man. You can see all of this artwork in any podcasting 2.0 compatible app. And I would like to point out for those of you that are very disappointed with Apple's most recent upgrade of their podcast app. In fact, I just was helping out Dan Carlin. He's back with his Hardcore History, has another series. People are very excited. And I saw him posting on Twitter saying, has anyone seen this show up in the Apple app? No, it's shit. They broke it. They don't care. They want you to just do subscriptions. Open podcasting is no longer their business. With a podcasting 2.0 app, the time it takes from published to showing up in an app is 40 seconds. That is...
Yeah, but. That's with 3.2 million podcasts. What happens when there's 30 million podcasts? Will it maybe take 50, 60 seconds?
It might take... I think we can keep it under a minute. We'll do our best. Please try one out today. There's all kinds of new features that you don't get on Apple or Spotify. Newpodcastapps.com. And now let us thank our executive producers and associate executive producers who brought it home for us with one of the T's of your time, talent, and treasure of our value for value model. And we will thank them right now.
Yeah, and it does make a difference after last Sunday's miserable showing.
Yeah,
we did pretty well today with 13. This show 1354, and to top it off is Sir Kilgore Trout of the dude's name Ben, retired in Woodstock, Ontario, Canada. $1,120.27, which is nice. And he short note: listen to the horn, Rebelizer, and R2D2 Karma to the No Agenda Universe.
Now, we don't know what that number signifies. This 112027. Can't really figure it out. Well, thank you very much.
Someone knows.
Sir Kilgore Trout of the dude's name Ben retired.
Oh my God! Woo! Listen to that horn.
India Tango Mike, stand by. 33 33 33. Rebelizer out.
You've got karma.
Remind me to mention, I give a rundown of, I went to the Walnut Creek meetup.
Oh, yes. I definitely want to hear about that.
And
you want to talk about it now, real briefly?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of hams there. It seems like the guy running this meetup, he's going to do one in Oakland shortly.
Oh, I heard you had not brought your rig. So
I forgot to bring my little rig. He was gonna, yeah, but he did give me a new high output antenna to hook to it.
Oh, cool.
And he... somebody at the meetup runs the Mount Diablo repeater, which he says is quite busy, which I don't know if I can hit from my house because I got a hill behind me.
Oh, that antenna, maybe. You get that new
maybe, antenna. Maybe. We'll see. But it's drawing a lot more hams to the meetup, and you can see the differences. As more hams come in, the ladies start to very slowly, you see less. Pretty obvious.
Okay. And, yeah, it's a real repellent. I know.
It's like an issue.
Hammer repellent.
Amy from the Verite Wine Operation was there, and they're going to have a meetup, a wine country meetup, because she tells me that because their winery was mentioned on our show, and we went out there with Brunetti and.
Right.
She says there turns out to be a bunch of winemakers up in the Sonoma and the Napa areas that are no agenda people.
Huh.
So they all contacted her. So we're going to have a meetup with some heavy duty wines, I guess.
Oh, nice.
Up there. I'll probably go to that because of some particular wine that she might open that I have.
Something you have your eye on over there?
Well, it's a wine I've never tasted and I feel remiss.
Yeah.
And somebody came with a pile of COVID cards. Pre-printed.
Nice. Oh, with numbers or just
the no numbers, but there was a guy I guess I missed him because he left, who had a rubber stamp and some little stickers and things, and he could fix the COVID card so it looked like authentic. He was there, so we have a little illegal activity going on. I thought that was kind of interesting. And then the guy who does these meetups, he took the old zombie book that the CDC produced, he reproduced it in comic book style.
Yes.
And he was giving those. This is dynamite product that the store should be selling.
Yes, he contacted me and I gave him a PO box. He's sending one to me. I'm very excited about it.
It's a dynamite product. So it was a great meetup for, and it was out in Walnut Creek. There was nobody in the whole town wearing masks. Nobody.
Huh. That's interesting.
Except the servers.
A bunch of Republicans out there, I guess.
There are Republicans out there. That's true.
Well, we had a very mini meetup of sorts. I did want to mention before we continue. We had dinner. I forget which night it was now. Two nights ago, with new Austin resident David Sutcliffe. If you remember, he is was Rory's dad from the Gilmore Girls. Remember, we met him at the Las Vegas meetup. Very famous actor who was a. Turned his back mainly to acting and has moved here in Austin, and he's figuring his life out. And I got to tell you, yeah, handsome man walking around in Austin. Unattached, as far as I know, for the ladies.
That's good.
You don't remember who he is. You have no idea.
I never met him. I wasn't at the meetup.
Well, we talked about him. We named a show after him.
Yeah, you did talk about him.
Yeah. Anyway, good to have him in Austin. Just as we're leaving.
I also want to thank Heather for giving me a jar of some. She works at the pot shop.
Oh, and you got some
it's
edibles?
It's actually a pot shop chain that may be something worth investing in, actually.
Oh, really?
All right, and so let's continue with the thank yous. Joseph Delaney is next on the list, and he came in with $1,000, and he sent a note in, which I have in before me on the email. She's dear John Adam Day, I always envisioned my first donation as being short and sweet. Thank you for everything. But it wasn't meant to be. I apologize in advance for the length. Okay. Two recent life events fast-tracked my... We gave $1,000, so I think...
Yeah, of course.
Fast-tracked my first ever donation. As such, I feel compelled to quickly report and analyze, having learned so much from you both ever since Joe Rogan's first appearance.
Oh,
yes. Adam's first appearance on Joe Rogan. Joe Rogan. Weeks ago, my wife called me while shopping, let me know that of an injury her father had sustained while playing tennis. The injury ultimately resulted in him being hospitalized. And when I asked what happened, I was told he badly injured his Achilles. Ouch. And then about a day later, he developed a blood clot, which caused severe bruising, swelling, etc. in his leg. While in the hospital, it was assured that the blood clot was caused by injury to the Achilles, and that this was actually common. He is home now with some shiny new blood thinners he will be taking for 1 to 2 years.
Jeez.
Wow. Now, about a week later, I asked my wife how he was doing, and she responded by saying, better. He was up and about, going about his routine. I asked how that was, given he must be hampered by his Achilles injury, when she replied saying that it was actually just a pulled calf muscle, not an injury to his Achilles.
Huh.
The initial injury report was overstated. My father-in-law received the COVID vaccine within the last month or so. No connection.
No connection whatsoever. Not possible. Get out of town.
Event number two. I was informed of an open position. It aligns with my skill set. It was from a headhunter. I've worked in this group in the past. Before letting me know who the company was, she stated that they have essentially doubled in size overnight and are planning continued growth. The upfront incentives are substantial. Who, you might ask, Good old Moderna.
Nice.
Analysis number one. I've been playing and watching sports for most of my 32 years. I certainly would not describe a pulled muscle followed by a blood clot as a common occurrence.
No.
Analysis number two. In business school, they always reinforce the notion that the most successful entrepreneurs create solutions to problems that their customers did not know they needed.
Yes. Yeah, right on.
Analysis three. Moderna's doing great. No agenda feels like home. Thank you both to each and every producer for making it so.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Onward with Christopher Dugan in Bristol, Rhode Island. 400. Donate, donate, donate. No jingles, no karma. Moving right along with Danielle Taggart, who also mailed in a note. This one I had to look up. She didn't use the word donation in the line, so it got forwarded
violation,
to Eric.
Violation.
ITM, I was looking for a no agenda social compatible app for my new phone when it really struck me how grateful I am for No Agenda Social and Podcasting 2.0.
Nice.
The monetization guys really screwed the potential of the internet, and you are all fighting the move to move it back into the right. You're lucky this email came through because you used the F word. Oof. And my filters will block email.
How did it not block it? That's weird.
That's a good question.
Mm-hmm. A great question.
I move it back to the right direction. Thank you for it, and I want to make my support clearly tangible. The mount celebrates the upcoming birthday of the dude named Ben.
All right.
Who punched me in the mouth back. You need to put this on the list, I guess.
Okay. It's from Danielle. Okay.
The dude named Ben.
Okay.
The dude named Ben was at the meetup, too.
Ah. And when is his birthday?
Curiously, there's a lot of dudes.
When is his birthday?
The amount celebrates it would be part of the amount, so it would be 350.02 on 6/9. I don't know, 6/9, just put 6/9.
Okay.
I need it to be 350.02 though. Please can Adam kick in a penny?
Yeah, I got one of those. There you go.
Please play Trump Aroused. It's just the best one ever. Y'all rock. Sincerely, Dame Taggart. Thank you, Dame.
I wasn't ready for that. Just Trump Aroused? That's all she wanted?
Yeah, just trip aroused, get it aroused. You know, you get it aroused and try to get it aroused.
Trying to get it aroused, and we got it aroused because we're really aroused.
It was hard to get it aroused, and it is hard to get it aroused, but we got it aroused.
You know, there's a new one that people have now latched onto based upon.
Yeah, I saw it.
You saw it?
Yeah, the back and forth with
Trump.
Kamala's on one side and Trump's on the other.
Come on, I got to play it. It's too funny.
Do not come.
Play it.
I'm going to come.
Dirty bastards. Dirty people.
It's terrible. You notice that I'm not the one who put that in there.
No.
Sir Data Ops, the Wisconsin Millennial, 333.69 in Madison, Wisconsin. Sir Data Ops, the Wisconsin Millennial, 33rd. Another 33rd birthday donation, June 9th. Jingles, 33 is the magic number. Dogs are people, too. Relationship, goat karma. Thank you for the value. Love is lit.
33. That's a magic number.
Oh, yeah.
It's the magic number.
Dogs are people, too. You've got karma.
Sir Daniel Mariano in Pflugerville, Texas, 333.69.
Pflugerville.
Now, I believe I sent a note in. It's a real note. You can tell because there's the paper.
Actual note. Nice.
Now, he writes, this donation brings me to baronet status. Please see the attached accounting, which he's attached. I would like TPP karma, if possible. No title change needed. Okay. Oh, right. Well, I put him on the title change list. Then there's a huge blank area. And then at the very bottom, it says, sincerely, Sir Daniel Mariano, I'm sorry, in Pflugerville, Texas. Now, which is your neighbor, or going to be your neighbor.
Yeah.
I believe there's secret writing on this paper.
Oh, have you, lemon water, lemon ink? You can hold it above a flame?
I haven't done that. I'm not sure what quite to do, because I see no evidence of it if you look at the paper, which means he's really good.
Do you have a flame you can hold it
over?
So
I'll put it aside, and I'll work on it.
Okay.
Well, there's a message in there somewhere. I'm sure of it.
Might be a Bitcoin private key.
Yeah.
You might want to check that thing out now that I think about it.
Yeah, now that you mention it. Sir Daniel Murray. Okay, that was Sir Daniel. Let's go to anonymous 333.33. ITM John and Adam, please keep me anonymous. Okay,
done.
We did that.
Done.
Okay, Kirk James in Madison, Alabama. I don't
have
a note
I'm sorry.
But I'll take a look.
Wait, I forgot to do the TPP jobs karma for...
for Daniel.
Jobs.
You've got karma.
Okay. I'll make sure we do it. Can't miss it.
Then we had Kirk James. I don't have a letter from him, but I'll look while you read the next extremely long note.
From Sir Rob Knight of the Philanthropic Shareholders Federation in Leiden, the Netherlands, 333 in the morning. ITM John and Adam, classic jingle request, fear is freedom, shut up slave, two to the head, you will obey, and a portion of house selling karma. Got it. I'm an avid listener to the show and I will try to keep this note short. Fail. No agenda provides great value in these dire times. Dire as I am the only non-vaccinated family member at the moment. Even when I point out that they have nothing to fear because they are vaccinated, they still keep droning on that I should do it for the others. Facts are useless, partly because the scientific literature and links from the No Agenda show notes are in English, and they don't bother to spend the effort. The other part is because the Dutch M5M and government propaganda have done a great job in managing the slaves here in Gitmo Lowlands. I have to face it. I've become a vuppie. I'm experiencing more and more social pressure to get the jab. Luckily, the No Agenda show has offered me coping strategies like others need it more urgently than I do. I can wait. This often results in getting nods of approval, except from family members. A little bit of boots on the ground from Gitmo Lowlands. On board of Dutch trains, the masks are mandatory except when you are eating. So nearly half the travelers are wearing their mask as a chin diaper with some beverage or snack in front of them. Yes, it works so well. The conductors on the train accept this, even when the bottles are empty. Same on the platforms and station buildings. In supermarkets, masks are mandatory as well. We recently started doing our grocery shopping without masks. To our surprise, we have received no foul looks from other shoppers. Yes, this is the big revelation you'll find in most places. Also, staff members either fail to see it or just don't care. Half a year ago, people nearly fainted when I once stepped into the supermarket and had simply forgotten to put on that muzzle. Things seem to be changing. Thanks for your work. Thanks to all fellow producers. John, stay safe. Heil Hitler. Sir Rob, Knight of the Philanthropic Shareholders Federation, Leiden, the Netherlands. And, that's the message. When you just go ahead and do it, these days, no one's going to stop you. And that seems to be true worldwide.
You will obey. You will obey.
You've got karma.
So our next donor here sounds like a stage name for a stripper.
Yeah.
Salty Ketchup. And here she is, Salty Ketchup in Manchester, New Hampshire. In New Hampshire.
Love it.
333.
Salty Ketchup.
Salty Ketchup. Thank you for making a very unfunny time in our lives more bearable with your wit and factual commentary. Could I get some R2-D2 karma with Trump dumps and John creepily saying, donate. God bless all. Salty Ketchup in Manch Vegas.
New Hampshire.
New Hampshire. I guess they put some casinos in there. Manch Vegas. Nice.
All right, you go first.
Donate.
Dumps. They call them dumps. Big, massive dumps.
You've got karma.
Donate.
Tammy Alter from Naples, Florida, 333. Thank you for your courage, she says. I'm writing you from the beloved free state of Florida. Please accept this donation. It is way overdue, as I'm embarrassed to say. It is my first donation since I started listening during the 26th presidential election. So please, de-douche me.
You've been de-douched.
Oddly enough, it was my college-aged daughter, Mary, who hit me in the mouth. And for this, she deserves all of the goat karma in the world. I couldn't believe it when she mentioned Adam Curry, a blast from my 80s past. But now I must admit, I don't know which of you I love more. Adam keeps me pumped up, and John brings me back to reality. We are, in fact, the perfect husband together. Anywho, thank you for keeping my amygdala small. I would like to ask for a jobs karma for my son, Ethan, and can I have a stuttering Obama stuttering ifs? Oh, hold on a second. Yes, stuttering ifs. A don't eat me Bo Jiden. Fauci wheeze. I got a Fauci wheeze here somewhere. And a you might die. And of course the karma, so I can do all of these.
If we fall for,
don't eat me, Bo Jiden. You're scary, so scary.
You might die.
You've got karma.
Hi, thanks, Tammy.
Amy Ekman's next on the list from Healdsburg. She's the winery girl.
Ah, there she is. Yes.
Who we got into a discussion about percentages of what grape is in what wine in Bordeaux.
I feel bad for her. She drinks,
I'll say right now, at this moment in time, she drinks more high-end wines than anyone I know.
But does she know more than you?
She knows at least as much and maybe more in some instances.
Very nice. Okay.
Yeah, it depends on, I mean, I have to go back and look in Jane Anson's book on Bordeaux to get some numbers here to throw back at her, but.
Yeah, let me know how that turns out.
It's nothing but fun.
Very exciting.
So she wrote a note. ITM John and Adam, Jingles Gitmo Nation National Anthem dedicated to Jeff and David for organizing one hell of a meetup. So she came down from Healdsburg to Walnut Creek, which is something of a long haul. Only No Agenda producers can advertise a supper-shedding zombie apocalypse prepper meetup and experience a turnout of 25-plus people. Jeff and David let their creative flags fly. Headshots of John and Adam adore. Oh, yes, every seat had a popsicle stick with their heads on it.
Oh, a take-home.
I signed a few.
Nice. I saw you signing rigs, battery packs and stuff.
Yes, somebody had me do that, so that became a thing.
Yeah. what used to be back in the MTV days, hey, could you sign my bra? Could you sign my chest? And now,
yeah, now, hey, man. Yeah, now we're signing batteries. Portable radios.
Battery packs. Okay.
They didn't want the battery signed. They wanted the radio signed.
Got it.
Because I said, I'll sign the battery. No, battery signed is no good.
No good, man. No, it's got to be the full deal, bro.
Anyway, claiming seats for No Agenda producers. There was even a zombie raffle. John, can you elaborate if you feel I already did?
Yep.
My amygdala, thanks to the No Agenda producers that I had the pleasure of meeting. Let me read that again. My amygdala, thanks the No Agenda producers that I had the pleasure of meeting. Until the next time, ITM, Dame Damey. Okay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, please rise.
Might as well do it. Everybody rise and sing along.
In the morning, Gitmo Nation, we are all charged up to be human resources and servants in all lands and all ships at sea. From the east to west, down under to the lowlands and beyond. We are happy and distracted slaves. Hear our Gitmo Nation song.
In the morning. programming notes. We play that one during donation segment once a year. Do not request it.
Yes, absolutely. All right, so let's go with John McPherson, and he says he wrote in a thing that with the donation as the subject line.
But,
and that's not true.
Okay.
And I will mention something.
Did you find it? It didn't say donation?
No, I got the thing, but it's just his payment received. I do not have anything from him under his name, under John. And so he gets, I don't know what to tell you, but I will say this. A number of people have written in using the idea that you put donation on your subject line, and they've misspelled donation.
How else do you spell donation?
D-N-O is one way I've seen it. I saw D-O-N. So it can be done.
Cool.
Onward. John has something to say. He'll tell us later.
Sir Brian Tobiasen, Gardner, Kansas, 28882. In the morning, gentlemen, I'll be listening to this episode while traveling to Louisville, Kentucky, bless you, from Kansas City to pick up some bourbon at the Maker's Mark Distillery. And we'll likely hit many others, too. My smoking hot wife is traveling with me, even though she drinks vodka and rum, not bourbon. I'd like to wish Sir Spencer, Wolf of Kansas City, a happy birthday on 6/9, yesterday. With this donation, I become a baron. I'd like to change my title to Sir Baron Tobiasen, Baron of Chief's Kingdom. That will be done. Lastly, my business is growing tremendously, and I've hired an advertising/marketing lady, and now I need an assistant, too. Holy crap. That's pretty good.
Sounds good to me.
So can I get some jobs, Karma, please? Also a Spanish ITM for my lovely Latina wife, which of course would be Latinx. And don't enslave me, Kamala. Oh, I didn't have that one lined up, I don't think. Do I have a don't enslave? Sorry about this.
You know, while you're lining that one up, I mention something? There's a subtlety to that clip, and I never thought about it before, but Kamala was called out because her parents were huge slave owners in the day. Right?
Was she? I think her dad, on the Jamaican side.
I guess so, yeah.
Yeah, the Jamaican side. Okay, so we have Don't Enslave Me, Kamala, because it cracks me up every time. I keep up the tremendous work. Thanks to you guys. My immediate family didn't go crazy during COVID, but we watched the extended family go nuts. Yes, this is very sad how that goes. He says, in the morning, Sir Brian Tobiasen.
Don't enslave me, Kamala!
Bola mañana!
You've got karma.
Oh, actually, had to be jobs.
Jobs,
let me do it right.
Jobs, jobs, and jobs. Let's vote for jobs!
You've got karma.
There we go.
Joe Thomas is up from Astoria, Oregon, 27610. In the morning, Adam and John requesting R2-D2 karma. I am donating in honor of our 27th wedding anniversary.
And they never had a fight.
Never had a fight. Thank you for my amazing husband, Doug Thomas, for 27 years together. Please credit this donation towards his knighthood. That we'll do that, and you're still going to get the executive or associate executive producership.
You've got karma.
And you do the accounting. Dr. Boom in Canton, Massachusetts, 250-33. ITM from Dr. Boom, at Dr. Boom on NA Social. This brings me halfway to knighthood. Woohoo! Woohoo! Please appreciate some jobs, Karma, with a side of goat for all those who need it. Love is lit. Stay safe. Dr. Boom in Canton, Massachusetts.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Karma.
Well, here's a nice one from our very own Dame Jennifer from Charleston, South Carolina, 23333. Hey, guys, she starts. Here's your latest share of the very generous Cuck Bucks donations I've received in the last month for Animated No Agenda. It's so sweet. I'm always speechless when I read these types of things. My birthday spurred a lot of love. It gave me all the feels. Well, we love hearing that. I have had to neglect my all-time favorite hobby for the last few weeks because of major work changes and projects, but I am back on track for one animated no agenda per week again, LGY. By the way, also all available in podcasting 2.0 apps with video. Thank you both, as always, for all you do for this incredible show and community. No Agenda Karma works. Please hand out a generous portion of all-purpose karma for everyone out there who needs it. XOXO Dame Jennifer. XOXO back at you, Dame Jennifer.
You've got karma.
Back at ya. Taylor Counter. Taylor Counter. Huh. 215. I went to the Bernie meetup, Texas.
It's Bernie. You had it right, Bernie.
It's Bernie, Texas. Went to the Bernie, Texas meetup last week and cannot thank you enough for the amazing community that both of you promote. We do. Your influence brings people from all walks of life together, and we, as listeners, appreciate and producers that appreciate the hard work you do to produce the show. The meetup was full of some of the most kind and wonderful people I've ever met in a while, but I shouldn't be surprised, as those are the kind of people you attract with the good work you do. Please de-douche my boyfriend, Logan.
You've been de-douched.
And then give Pelosi jobs karma at the end. I'm also new to Texas. I'm a swim coach for the Air Force Special Warfare.
Wow. Special Warfare. Cool.
Yeah, that's probably...
That's
swim faster.
Get in this mud and breathe.
As a longtime Division I swimmer and former Division I swim coach, I have experience teaching people of all abilities how to swim through private and group lessons. Since I'm new to the area, could you please mention my website,
TaylorEdSwim.com.
But it looks like red, but it's Taylor Ed for more.com for more details and my email. I teach swim lessons for kids 3 and up, which is probably pretty damn good. Faster, kid. Look at this, a 2-year-old swimming faster than you. Adults who are learning.
You are such a good parent.
Get to work. Or people of all levels learning to perfect their technique. As a special forces coach, I can coach water confidence tactics for those preparing to enter any form of special forces, SEALs, AF, special warfare, Rangers, Marine, Recon, etc. Sorry for the long note, but thank you for all you do. Love is lit. Love and lit.
All right. I want a lesson from this guy. I'd love to.
It's a girl, Taylor.
How do you know? Taylor is a very, very... Oh, my boyfriend, Logan. It's a girl. It's a girl, Mrs. Walker. Sorry.
It's a female. Well, Taylor, swim coach.
Taylor is also often a male name, certainly.
Yeah,
in
not
Texas.
Much since Taylor Swift, but yes, true.
Yeah, it's really true.
I know a couple of Taylors that are guys, so that's a mistake anyone can make.
But I should have seen de-douche my boyfriend, Logan. So, I'm going to reach out. I don't know where you are. Did you say where she is in Texas? I know she was near
Bernie, so it's around there somewhere.
That's right. I know a couple people who would benefit from this. I wouldn't mind having a lesson in some special forces swimming. Might be fun. You learn how to swim with a knife in your teeth.
Yeah, swim with a knife in your teeth.
Underwater.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs.
Yeah! You got karma.
You got the blade in backwards, doofus. I can't hear you.
I spit on my screen. Sir Christopher, Baron of Brown County in Green Bay, Wisconsin, 20202. John Adams, you're wonderful. I love you. Keep up the great work. Producers, you're beautiful. Douchebags, thank you for listening. # love is lit. Would you please play the wildly amusing producer-created song, While Dvorak's Chair Gently Squeaks. Well, we will not play the whole thing, but we do have an excerpt.
I tune into here, the best media deconstruction. While Dvorak's chair gently squeaks. Stories of lies and of worldwide.
I haven't heard your chair squeak in a while now to think about it.
It was squeaking the other day a lot, and you mentioned it.
No, I saw it.
It was after the show.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. Not during the show.
No. Bradley Carrier in Lexington, Minnesota, Michigan. I'm sorry. $200.33. Can I get an F cancer karma for my dad? Okay. We'll be finding out how bad it is around this time on Thursday's show after when it posts.
Okay. Well it's never too late for that.
You've got karma.
Karen Seltzer in LaGrange, Kentucky. Could be LaGrange. 200. ITM guys, thank you for keeping us sane. The donation is dedicated to my smoking hot husband, Sir Brad.
Aww.
1X Seltzer for his 55th birthday on June 10th.
Today.
Thanks for being the best husband and father. Love you. Biscuit for his birthday and R2-D2 karma.
They always give me a biscuit on my birthday.
You've got karma.
Rachel Epperson, $200 in parts unknown. Do you guys have hope? It is a natural up.
Do you have hope? Well, in general, no, not really.
It is a natural optimism and huge sense of humor that allow you to do it. Oh, is it? Okay, let me restart reading again. Do you guys have hope? Is it natural optimism and huge senses of humor that allows you to do this job? I really don't understand how you do it. Some goat karma for you are indomitable Sherpas.
I would say I'm very optimistic, but I think in general the reason why we can do this show is edibles. I think that's the main. main.
By the way, Heather gives me this stuff. You know, it's some salve, but it's a half and half salve. And I talked to her about. She wears the pot shop.
Mm-hmm.
There's a chain.
Oh, half THC, half CBD.
Yeah, and I said, well, you know, a lot of the pot shop old timers say that the CBD doesn't work at all unless you have half THC.
You got to have some THC in there. That's what
she said. Half and half by the old timers.
Mm-hmm.
She says, yes, I've heard that, and that is what a lot of people believe to be true.
And I think that a lot, because the one that is pure, it supposedly is pure CBD is the Lavender Blossoms salve, yeah. Which does wonders for me on all kinds of stuff. But it doesn't have THC. So he says.
Well, it's possible that the solves are different than the edibles.
So. Or maybe I'm just so filled with THC. This.
Oh, yeah. You already got the THC running through your system.
Woo!
Anyway, all right, Rachel,
hold on.
Thanks.
We need to do a goat karma for her. Here we go.
You've got karma.
We've had a lot of people ask us how we managed to do this show.
Well,
At the meetup, somebody says to me, how do you guys, it was one of the women, she says, how do you do this show?
Well, let's address it.
How do you guys just listen to all this news? And she was just baffled and walked off. Well,
let's address it. Why don't you answer it? Then I'll answer it. How do you do, I mean, it's not so much how the production, but how do we do it by doing it and doing it with such vigor and enthusiasm?
We're both angry men.
That's all you need to know.
It's just a version of shouting at the television.
I don't think I have anything left to say. I think you nailed it. Good job. Finally, S. Janssen, from Brooklyn, New York, $200. You guys truly make the best podcast in the universe. Thank you. And thanks to all the producers. I would say that is a big part of it. Producers do a lot of work. Help us out. Steer us in the right direction. Send us links. Time, talent, treasure. No jingles, just the best dose of business karma you have from a husband. Thanks, Hetty Confetti. All right, Hetty Confetti, you got it.
You've got karma.
I do have, let me see, got two other quickies that came in. Second.
One, a make good note there.
Well, no, I have, what note do I have here? No, that's coming up. But I have Baron A.J. Reistat. I'm driving out to the Democratic People's Republic of California with my daughter Katie's 8th grade graduation on Thursday. considering that I was in a three-car accident last Saturday driving to get a new kitten for the same human resource, some R2-D2 karma would be greatly appreciated. He is a Baron, so we break for Barons.
You've got karma.
And I just picked this one up because the donation came to my email as well from Brian Taylor. He says, you know, he actually forwarded, he had a new automatic payment set up for No Agenda, so he would not get mentioned because it's a monthly donation. He says, I'm going to be a knight someday. I'm closing on a new build house for next week. I'm a bit stressed. I know my donations are under the threshold. I wanted to drop your line, express my appreciation for the positive impact you've had on my life. And that is, to me, more important than the donation number. So I just wanted to mention that. And thank you very much. And thanks to these fabulous executive producers and associate executive producers who came in with big help for us and appreciate it because it was rough last week. We know we can always count on you. And it's not just that. It's the time, the talent, and the treasure. You really are the producers of this show, and you know it. And if you'd like to learn about some of these sustaining donations or any other support for the show, go to
Dvorak.org/NA.
And once again, our humble thanks for all of you producing episode 1354.
Our formula is this. We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
Order. Order.
Shut up, slave.
Shut up, slave.
Let's see.
We got a little medley as somebody sent in.
Medley.
I think they. Mm-hmm. Yeah, medley is not quite the same as a supercut.
What is the difference between a medley is musical and a supercut is a supercut?
The way I see it, a medley is less hectic. This is the Stay Safe medley. One of the, I think it's an MSNBC host, and this is what she does as a matter of course. And again, I'm reminding people that this. Think of Heil Hitler when you hear this medley. This
Haley
is
Haley Birdwell, thank you so much for being here, and please stay safe. Congressman Adam Schiff, thank you so much for being here tonight, and please stay safe. Colorado Secretary of State Jenna Griswold, thank you so much for being here tonight. Please stay safe. NBC News correspondent Priscilla Thompson, thank you so much for being here tonight, and please stay safe. Lee Merritt, thank you so much for your time tonight. Please stay safe. Timothy O'Brien, thank you so much for being here tonight. Please stay safe. State Representative Jeremy Gray, I want to thank you for your time tonight, and please stay safe.
Man, the edibles are getting to you. We played this two shows ago, I think.
I don't remember.
That's what I'm saying. I couldn't remember either, but then when I heard that she was filling in for...
she's an idiot.
Yes. Well, no, she's a rookie. She's a rookie. She's not doing it right. Well, actually, she is doing it right. She's just a little overzealous with the please stay safe stuff. It's too much.
Now, I have a cicada report if you want to get that out of the way.
I'd love to.
The cicada 1 and 2. I got two of them.
A long-awaited massive invasion of cicadas is now swarming large areas of the East and Midwest, and these little bugs can be deafening. That's what they sound like, but if they're anywhere near you, we don't have to tell you that. This group of insects is called Brood 10, and it emerges from the ground every 17 years. The swarms are so big in the Baltimore, Washington area that they show up on National Weather Service radar. Good news is they won't stick around much longer. Ben Tracy shows us what the bugs are doing while they're here and how the rest of us are coping.
In the backyard of Jessica Helms' Maryland home,
we were getting over 2,000 a day.
It is peak cicada season.
Five.
Her 6-year-old Olivia started counting them.
We found many bugs,
but quickly ran out of fingers and then buckets.
Then we had to watch where we're stepping.
Cicada shells cover the ground and hang from the trees. And while all of this may terrify many adults,
you think I'm kind of lame?
Yes, I do.
Olivia is now invested in these insects, giving the cicadas names and rides on all of her toys.
Jeez, what network was this?
Well, you'll get a clue when you play part two of what network it was and who you'll see.
These odd-looking insects are inspiring art, fashion, and music.
Oh.
A brewery in Virginia created a cicada beer and named it Brood X.
No cicadas are harmed in the making of this beer.
Which is perfect for washing down a crunchy cicada taco.
So good.
You'd expect the guy wearing this to enjoy eating that. But at this restaurant in Leesburg, Virginia, they're selling 30 orders of cicada tacos every day.
About 50% of those that come in order a second round of tacos.
Tobias Padovano is the chef.
Those look tasty. I do see little cicada eyes looking at me.
Yeah, they're going to look at you. They'll judge you.
And then it was time for my first...
Bon appetit.
...bug bite.
Crunchy. Nutty. That's pretty good. So our anchor, Gail King, really wants to eat some cicadas.
Okay.
Can you send her a couple of these?
This is... I'm so tired of this. You know, I worked at MTV, and this was the kind of stuff... You know, we had extreme sports. You know, I would do the mogul skiing, water skiing, you know, snowboarding. I refused to jump out of airplanes. But, you know, it was always something extreme and, wow, this is so cool.
Yeah.
And now every single station...
What? You're the producer. You're not on the air.
Yeah, of course.
You got these meat puppets.
Yep.
Okay, I want you to eat a taco on the air. Eat a cicada. I want you to put it in your mouth. Okay, you getting that, Bill? You getting to film it? Sure.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah, that's what you... Wouldn't you do the same thing to the poor bastard that's caught in the field?
Isn't it interesting, though, that amongst all of the horrible things our world is going through with increased velocity of storms and extreme weather, but yet the cicadas right on time, no problem.
Yeah,
no issue. No issue. What?
Yeah, and eat a bug.
Yeah.
We eat bugs. You eat bugs. Nothing like freshly caught bug. You want to try? Ooh, thanks. I love bugs.
I have an economic indicator that I thought might be kind of interesting.
Always interested.
We don't have a Zephyr today, do we? That's only Sunday.
I missed it. I don't know. Might may or may have not have gone by.
Well, the keeper texted me very, very excited with a picture. And this means that the economy is booming back. The onion grinder is back at Costco. Once again, you have a condiment station and tables and the onion grinder. That must mean that we are opening up.
Only in Texas. We don't have the onion grinder here, and they won't even give us... They've gotten to the point where the local Costco, when you buy the hot dog, what Adam's talking about is this machine that has a bunch of chopped onions in it.
Yeah.
And you grind, looks like you're grinding, and they come out and they land on the hot dog.
it's kind of gross, really.
It's very gross and unsanitary, but they still have... They used to have one with the sauerkraut, but then they stopped that one. They won't even give the little containers of sauerkraut out anymore.
Oh, no, they weren't even giving out ketchup, only mustard before. They stopped with... I know most people say you shouldn't put ketchup on a hot dog, but I'm just saying.
You shouldn't. I'm one of those people.
Yeah.
Even though my daughter does it.
Are you also against pineapple on a pizza?
I love pineapple on a pizza.
Me too. I love it. You know, I have a new one. It's pineapple, pepperoni, and black olives.
Last one we did was pineapple and spinach. Black olives are always good, but there's a big debate about this. But here's what happened with the pineapple. I was always of the side, pineapple, yuck, you're sick. And so this was at Mevio. This was only a few years ago.
That was actually quite a while ago, John. It was more like 10 years ago. Okay.
It's more like 15, actually.
Yeah, okay, there you go.
So about 15 years ago, they had to keep bringing these Amici pizzas in. And they brought in a pineapple pizza. There's the pineapple and ham, which I need the ham.
I don't like the ham. No, I don't like that.
I agree. So they brought it in. I said, I'll try this. I tasted it, and I realized that the pineapple and the tomato sauce and the cheese and everything was absolutely stunning. It was a perfect match made in heaven. It's called, to other people in
Hawaiian.
Some places, it's called Hawaiian pizza. It's really good. I would recommend people give it a shot.
Tina is from Chicago, and she says it's almost grounds for divorce.
Yeah, she's never had it.
Oh, no, she's had it. She doesn't like it.
It's wrong. Something's wrong with her.
There's nothing wrong.
Get rid of her.
There's nothing wrong with her.
Get rid of her.
Get rid of her. Wow, man. Thanks. Nice.
Anyway. And where were we?
Well, I have one. I have a meme that I don't have a recording of it. I want everyone to be on the lookout. This is one of those things that's going to be.
By the way, we lost half our audience with that pineapple on a pizza thing.
I don't think so.
Because they're all like Tina.
There's a whole conversation in the troll room about it now. And we have not lost anybody.
They're very annoyed by us.
It's engagement. No, it's super engaging.
Well, it is engaging.
Here is a meme alert. I'm hearing it. I'm hearing more of it. Warm weather, more violent crime, cruel summer. Be on the lookout for it. I want recordings. Cruel summer. It's going to be a cruel summer. I've heard it 2 times already. I haven't recorded it, but I've heard it. So I just want people to be on the lookout.
All right.
Whenever that happens, you know.
So Biden gave up talk.
Yes.
He goes to England and goes to his Air Force base or a military base there.
Yeah.
I have some clips.
Good.
Now, NPR covered this. I have a pre-clip of the NPR Biden. Well, I don't want to play that. NPR. Well, I can skip it. Here it is. Biden trip, a rundown NPR.
President Biden has arrived in the United Kingdom on his first overseas trip as president. Biden taking part in an 8-day swing that will also include an appearance at a G7 summit. Biden is looking to reassert the U.S. onto the world stage and will also be presenting the message the U.S. can compete economically with China and other countries. President arrived at RAF Mildenhall, where he outlined his agenda to U.S. forces stationed there.
This is my first overseas trip as president of the United States. I'm heading to the G7. Then to the NATO ministerial, and then to meet with Mr. Putin to let him know what I want him to know.
Biden also slated to meet one-on-one with British Prime Minister Boris Johnson and visit Queen Elizabeth at Windsor Castle. He will meet in Geneva with Russian President Vladimir Putin at the end of the trip.
All right. So they managed to find the one little clip in there where Biden was succinct.
And people cheered him.
They cheered him a lot. He had a boosterish audience that was behind him.
Good.
And it was like a bunch of army guys and they were, or Marines maybe. And they were, you have to imagine the guys got it. They all have masks on. The guy is holding 2 small American flags in front of him and then waving them maniacally like a little girl at a parade. It was, I don't know what the image was not good.
Okay.
But let's listen. Here's a Biden medley.
Ooh, another medley. Another medley. It's a 2-medley show, everybody.
Quote another Irish poet. He said, the world's changed utterly. Terrible beauty has been born. Where the global commons, the seas, the air, the space, and space remain open and accessible for the benefit of all. We must all commit to an ambitious climate action. You know, when I went over in the tank in the Pentagon, when I first was elected vice president with President Obama, the military sat us down to let us know what the greatest threats facing America were, the greatest physical threats.
White people.
This is not a joke. You know what the Joint Chiefs told us the greatest threat facing America was? Global warming. Then put a man on the moon and flew a helicopter on Mars.
I like that. Did he sneeze there? Was that what that was?
No, it was a cough.
Oh, sounded like a sneeze.
Now, I got 2 other clips. I didn't get a lot. But this one here was interesting because you just listened to it. It's a 6-second clip. It was very much at the end. And he says, the clip is called Give My Word. Play it.
I mean it from the bottom of my heart. I give you my word. Thank you all for what you do.
I give you my word. What's wrong with that? He's.
I give you my. Let me say it to you, Adam.
Yes.
I give you my word. Thank you.
Stay safe. Oh, the word is thank you. Is that what I give you my word? Thank you. It's 2 words. I don't know.
Mean, what is? I give you my word. If you're going to say this, I give you my word. Doesn't it mean you're going to do something?
Well, I don't know what he said before. Did he say?
Believe me, it's disconnected to what he said before.
Oh, he just, well, okay. Just, I don't have the context.
He's just trying to wrap it. He goes, I give you my word. Thank you. Thank you for being here.
He's just ending it up. But, and I give you my word. Stay safe. Thank you. Stay safe.
Actually, that would be something he'd say. But the only real, I think the funniest bit is his 9-second clip. This is Biden, dictators. I think this is a gem.
We have to expose as false the narrative that decrees of dictators can match the speed and scale of the 21st challenges.
What? What? What does that even mean? I really don't.
Play it again. It's only 9 seconds. Try to figure out what he said.
We have to expose as false the narrative that decrees of dictators can match the speed and scale of the 21st challenges.
Something about Trump, I'm sure, but I don't understand. The dictators that can move as fast as the 21st century challenges.
He never said century. He just said 21st.
Huh. I'd like to teach you some German. Bleib sicher. That's stay safe in German. It sounds better. Bleib sicher.
Okay.
Bleib sicher. You going to try it?
Okay,
bleib, B-L-E-I-B, bleib, bleib.
Yeah, bleib.
Sicher, so it's seeker, only with a ch, sicher. Bleib sicher.
Bleib sicher.
Close enough. I think we should use that instead of say safe, stay safe.
Yeah.
Can internationalize a little bit.
Doesn't sound, then you Germanize it, doesn't sound enough like, you can't say this Heil Hitler.
It's not good enough, I'm sorry. I tried.
Not Hitler enough.
No.
All right.
I have a couple things to just run through. New World Order stuff. It seems like we're globally trying to let the slaves know that we've got to normalize everything. The rich are assholes. So we have these secret IRS files that came out through ProPublica, a known leak. They're known to leak stuff.
People There's a lot of them. Theories about what's going on with that.
Well, the reason why I say that is because we have the secret IRS files. Also, Germany is now ranking their ultra rich. Now, there's a number of it's not just U.S. I guess is what I'm saying. Is they're trying to make all the rich people look like douchebags. What theories? What else have you heard?
Well, the reason I heard listening to some other right wingers, they said that. When they were going to do the taxing on to pay for the next bill, the infrastructure bill, they kind of backed off on gouging the rich.
Yes,
and maybe they're not going to pay. And so this comes out saying, look, they don't pay any taxes anyway. So I mean, why don't we gouge them? So I don't know. It seems to be some political motivation behind this leak.
Everything is political. Everything. Oh my God. Oh, back to Biden. You know, I had a different take than most people on this Kamala thing, which from what I can read, actually, a lot of Democrats are really unhappy with her. I mean, I'm seeing articles. What was this?
Well, back up, because what do you mean?
I'm going to play it.
I don't know what the background is.
I'll play this clip.
Do you have any plans to visit the border?
I'm here in Guatemala today. We are going to the border. We've been to the border. So this whole thing about the border, we've been to the border. We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. And I don't understand the point that you're making.
Now, how did you interpret that, and I haven't been to Europe?
Well, I interpreted the way I put it in the newsletter, which was that she wanted to go to Europe, and knows Biden is headed over there with his wife and didn't take her because she's usually the odd man in the back that's standing there like, you know, lifeless in the background as he speaks.
I think, and I listened to this several times, I read that, and I think that was my initial reaction as well. But now that I listen to it, it's different. What I think she's saying is, Why didn't you ask Joe that shitty ass question about him going to Europe? Why are you picking on me? And he was picking on her because that is very un-NBC like to go, you didn't go to the border. And she knows it. And if you listen again with that in mind, it sounds more like she's saying, well, I didn't go to Europe either. Like, how come you didn't talk to Joe? Why don't you put this to the president, you shit?
We've been to the border.
You haven't been to the border.
I haven't been to Europe. I don't understand.
Don't you think that's more likely that that's why she said it? She has such disdain for Joe that she has to stand in the shadows and then she gets all the heat for the crap job that
she has to do. I'm not going to say your interpretation is wrong at all, because it's quite likely.
Yeah.
Because there was no reason to drop that Europe bomb in there.
No.
Out of the blue.
Chicago.
So maybe she's just irked with Joe, and maybe she's
under
being
fire.
Marginalized as the vice president. She's being cut out.
She
doesn't look happy.
She's under fire. The Chicago Tribune had a column. Please, God, please, Biden must endure until 2024. They don't want her to be president. They think she's, which she is, they think she's horrible. These are Democrats. They are, I think they may even be afraid of her to some degree.
Oh, I think, you know, every time I look at her, I think if she ever became president,
we're screwed.
This would be interesting, because she's like, just looks like she's a fascist.
I think there's a pretty good troll site. That's a whole trolling mission that's happening. And a number of producers have sent me this and said, oh, Trump's new social network. It's coming. Trump's new social network. It's called The Trumpet. And this was announced, and I'd like you to go to this website, if you can pop up a browser there.
Okay.
TheOffice45.com. TheOffice45.com. This is, I believe this to be a huge troll site, and people are signing up. This is built by jokesters or someone who wants to sign up.
Is it number 45?
Yes, TheOffice45.com. But people are sending this like, oh, it's called the Trumpet. By the way, isn't that a big clue when it's called The Trumpet? You know that's not what he's going to call his social network. But they're signing up for the email announcements. People are forwarding me the emails. I think you're being had, peeps. This is not Trump.
I don't think it is either, and I'll tell you why I don't think it's Trump.
I have a number of reasons, but go ahead.
Well, my first initial reason is the photo, the black and white photo of him looking smug.
Exactly.
He would never approve that use.
Never.
So that's out.
I like the contact us. This is what tipped me off under contact us. So they have, sign up for Trumpet. Soon, real Americans will have a voice. On The Trumpet, you'll be able to interact with the real Donald Trump from his genius brain directly to the American people. Mm-hmm. But this platform will be for true American patriots only. Many people are predicting it will be bigger than Twitter and Facebook combined. And then below that, better yet, see us in person. Donald J. Trump and Melania Trump enjoy hearing from the American people, but they really like it when real Americans visit them at their beautiful home at Mar-a-Lago. Use the password hole-in-one at the gate so that security knows you are a real patriot. Yeah.
This is the same as the gag that's floating around about you need to get the real good COVID test. Is the Canadian gag.
Yeah.
It's in the newsletter. When you get to get a good COVID test, take a stool sample and mail it to Justin Trudeau, Liberal Party of Canada. Yeah.
I wonder if these...
This is bull crap from the get-go, but it's obviously bull crap. Nobody's falling for this, are they?
No, plenty of people are falling for it.
Well, then they need to rethink themselves. This has got all the earmarks of a scam, and it's a mailing list collector.
Yes. So I wonder what the second shoe is when it drops. Once they have everybody's email.
You're
going
to be on some mailing list for the Progressive Party.
Right. A note from...
And by the way, you know what the other big major giveaway is? What color is the background on this site?
It's not even a good orange. It's completely...
It's orange.
Yeah, it's not right. So obvious. A note from one of our producers. I heard you and Horowitz talking about the prices. We've talked about it too, about these the prices going out of control, which are I think we both agree that they're artificially inflated. By the way, I gotta go poop on the former New York banker. Did you see the announcement about BlackRock, that BlackRock is buying up as many homes as they can, 20% over price? He says no, that's not true. Fuck, it's true. These guys are buying up everything, taking it away from the children.
People are definitely bitching about this problem.
Yeah. Quick report from the field of automobile manufacturing. While the chip shortage has threatened a few of our and other suppliers, it's really the resin that seems to be the biggest challenge for most suppliers. As you well know, much of what goes into cars is plastic. The BMW plant here in South Carolina is the largest BMW manufacturing facility in the world as far as numbers are concerned. This is why we're the best podcast in the universe. We have the best producers. We're in a situation right now where BMW Global will shut down other facilities just to keep this one running. Most of the ancillary suppliers are also doing the same thing.
Ancillary,
thank you. Are doing the same thing just to keep this plant online. So, as for the company I work for, many of our facilities in North America have already shut down for extended periods due to manufacturers like Ford and Chevy shutting down production for weeks or months while they wait on ships and plastic to be available. Plastic. Isn't that what Dustin Hoffman is still doing? Ever since the plastic, graduate? Man. Plastics.
Plastics.
We only get plastic from China? We don't make any plastic? I guess not, huh? Is it not?
Well, the greatest plastic operations are all out of Taiwan, actually, I'm told.
Hmm.
When I was in, one year I was there, and I was told that the Taiwanese are the number one in the world experts at injection molding.
Right.
If you can dream something up, they can make an injection mold of it, and nobody else can do it, they say. But so I think a lot of plastic comes from the finished plastics. I think we make plastic. I mean, we've got refineries that comes out of there, the resins.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. There's something fishy about it. That's all I know.
I think we get, don't we get new numbers today, new inflation numbers today or tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow probably. Friday's the big day for that.
4.2 last time. What do we think it is now? Think it'll go above 5?
No. They lie. If you don't say it, it won't be true. So I have a long clip if you want to hear it.
Sure.
Because this is kind of, this was on a podcast. I just kept the podcaster out because I couldn't take him. But this guy's a writer, worked in China, Kamran Pasha. He's worked on a lot of different shows, and he worked in China. And he came up with a, it looks like the divorce between Hollywood and China is underway.
Oh, really? Huh.
Because there was a large article in the Hollywood Reporter, large article, discussing
this.
How the relationship got started, how it started to fall apart, and how it seems now that everybody is bailing from the Chinese relationship except Disney, who's stuck there because they have two amusement parks. But meanwhile, they're being told how to present. This is a 2-minute clip, 2.5-minute clip of this guy. I think he summarizes things. He's a little, I had to cut some stuff out, but it's fascinating because I think he's right. And then later in the podcast, they discuss what's going to slowly evolve, which is Hollywood going after China in their storytelling. And we haven't seen that yet, but it's coming. It's like
we've seen quite the opposite. We've seen quite exactly the opposite.
The opposite is over. If you listen to this, it's over. Listen to this.
Hollywood, for all of its talk of idealism, has always been about one thing and one thing only, which is money. Right. At the end of the day, it says what it says in order to get PR, which is, again, about money. If you can sound morally righteous, then people will come and support your products and watch your movies and watch your television shows. And so that's the goal of it. And so the problem the Chinese Communist Party presented was that it was the source of money. At least that was what was being, you know, held up as a carrot, that we're going to be a source of tremendous money for Hollywood, but you're not going to be able to bring morality into the conversation if you want our money, and you're not going to be able to critique our policies. I mean, we had years, we had movies like, you know, 7 Years in Tibet and all that, and suddenly all that stopped. Tibet used to be a big, you know, Hollywood political thing, raise money for Tibet. The Dalai Lama is a celebrity, right? And then suddenly all the free Tibet stuff stopped real fast when China became at least the anticipated source of money. But then the problem, and I think the article goes into it, is that China made one mistake, is that if you're going to blackmail someone, you actually have to follow through with it. So if you're going to use money as the way to leverage power over Hollywood, you actually have to make Hollywood invested in getting that money. But the problem with an authoritarian government like the Chinese Communist Party is that they aren't able to think that way. They're used to just doing, you know, ordering people to do things and people obey. And so they did not see that all the restrictions they placed on how Hollywood can make money on it would actually sour the relationship, right? It was the Chinese Communist Party's greed and power hunger that took away its ability to actually use Hollywood as a propaganda piece. Because once Hollywood realized, we're not making money on this, then why are we shackled to this? What annoyed Hollywood is, oh, we thought we were going to make billions of dollars off of you, but you're keeping most of the revenue for yourself, both in terms of movies, in terms of like these Disney parks. Well, then what's in it for us? You want us to be your propaganda arm? What are we getting out of it? And that was the mistake the Chinese Communist Party made, is they overplayed their hand and could not consider the actual point of bribery, which is we actually have to pay the money to bribe someone.
Huh. That's interesting. Do you think that's part of the reason why Biden reversed the TikTok ban, to give him a little olive branch for some of the entertainment? And also, Hollywood left Hollywood. It's now Amazon and Netflix, and they're not in China, as far as I know. Those guys don't stream in China.
Well, nobody's going to be in China shortly.
Good.
They're bailing out. They did the whole thing, which was, I think, 3 years ago on this show. We were lamenting the big studios that were being built in China on behalf of, you know, various.
So what is it? Why this change of heart?
Because, like he said, they never got the money they were promised.
They're shit.
The Chinese
they're
are cheap.
Best price. Well, there's a couple things you can psyops and MK Ultra Americans all day long. You don't pay us, shit happens.
Where's all this money we were promised?
Wow, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah, I didn't know this was going on, but it's pretty funny.
The New York.
So now they're going to turn on China with the storylines, because they can do whatever they want. China's like the Fast and Furious movie. I didn't take the clip of this, but John Cena is now like a just considered the worst person ever.
Yeah, because of his apology?
Because he apologized in Mandarin to the Chinese for even suggesting that Taiwan was a country.
Yeah.
And now he's pretty much blacklisted by everybody on both sides of the ocean. And the Chinese won't go see Fast and Furious. And this guy explains that if the Chinese people get a hint that they might be tracked as on the social monitoring system for going to see Fast and Furious 9, because the Chinese don't like John Cena.
Wow.
That they won't go to the movie because they don't want to get that black mark on their little numbering system. So the movie's a huge flop in China when it should be a big success.
Cool.
Yeah, all hell's breaking loose.
It's
about time.
Yeah, I like it. Excellent. They screwed it up. China. If you want to keep playing us, you got to pay to play, baby. That's the Merc. That's actually the Hollywood way.
Yeah.
New York Times had a very interesting article that caught my eye, and this is regarding the withdrawal from Afghanistan. And it so confirms our theory that the only reason we're there is to continue the endless supply chain, the rat lines of the poppies for the pharmaceutical CIA. Yes, and for the CIA for their illegal drug/weapons trade. So here's the headline: CIA scrambles for new approach in Afghanistan. And here's the problem: they won't have a base. They need a base that can handle large transport planes that is not too far from the poppy fields. And they're now, and Pakistan doesn't want them anymore. After we got that, we got the phony bin Laden there. And so they're even going so far as Kyrgyzstan, trying to get a base there and trying to use other countries' bases. They're flipping out. They don't know what to do. It's like, we need a base. We need to load these planes. Something to keep our eye on as they try. They're going to have to
be running that. That's since the New York Times is some sort of a psyop for the CIA, we have to kind of deconstruct it. Why do you think that article is running in the New York Times in the first place? Is this like a message? Hey, it's like, here's our problem. Mm-hmm. We can't do this anymore here. Is anybody out there can help us? Just let us know.
Possibly.
It's got to be. It's like a one ad.
Possibly.
I got a couple of things here. I got a couple of mysterious things. I got John Kirby at the State Department or the Pentagon was
the wincing John Kirby. Yes.
I've got a couple of clips here that are interesting.
Yeah.
First of all, this will be, I've got three clips about China. Challenge, first clip, first use. Let's do Kirby challenge of China. They're talking about China, first use.
Is that the task force?
Sorry?
It's the first use of a term.
Is that the task force's work was...
You want first use? I'm sorry, that's the one? Okay.
Yeah, I want first use, not first clip.
Got it. Here we go.
I think you also saw today the secretary issued a directive to the force that initiates several major department-wide efforts to better address the security challenges posed by China as the United States' number one pacing challenge. These initiatives, some of which will remain classified, are designed to focus departmental processes and procedures and better help department leaders contribute to whole-of-government efforts to address the challenge of China.
Oh, whole-of-government. Okay.
Well, the term in there is pacing.
Yes, I got you.
You know about this?
No.
I don't either. Here, play this. I got two other clips. This is Kirby's Secrets Pacing Challenge first clip.
Is that the task force's work was sort of a down-and-in look at the way the department is organized, the way it's structured, and the way we think about the broader issues of China from a security perspective. It wasn't meant to be an up and out look, so it's not a strategy that has been produced here. Really, it's an assessment of how the department's doing with respect to truly treating China as the number one pacing challenge. And the task force found some gaps and seams, some things that we could be doing better. And so back to your question, the directive issued by the secretary lays out some initiatives and efforts that were recommended by the task force that he wants the department to adopt.
Pacing challenge.
And here's the last clip where he uses pacing challenge.
So back to your question, the directive issued by the secretary lays out some initiatives and efforts that were recommended by the task force that he wants the department to adopt so that we can improve the way we think, the way we plan, the way we structure and organize ourselves to truly deal with China as the number one pacing challenge. I think what the secretary's concern was that he didn't want to just say this. He wanted to make sure we were actually acting on it.
Well, this is driving me nuts. I'm looking at article after article where this phrase comes up. But what the hell does it mean?
That's what I'd like to know.
The pacing challenge.
Do we have to have some military guys tell us this? Because we don't know. There's got to be somebody listening to the show saying, I know what it, you know, of course. I can understand kind of what it might be referring to, which is the fact that China is like, you know, moving its economy and its social structure and all these things ahead. And we have to keep pace with them insofar as the military or whatever. I don't know. But I mean, it's got something to do with that. It's got to.
Well, some of the initiatives will remain classified. Defense officials told reporters that the effort puts new organizational structures in place to better prioritize competition with China and to make sure the challenges in the Indo-Pacific region are, quote, gaining the attention they deserve. Maybe it's a friendly way of saying we're going to beat you up.
It's got to be something like pace. That.
I would, yeah, this is, I agree. We need some military.
We need some military.
Maybe spooks, some
military
maybe
intelligence
spook,
specifically. Yeah,
I was going to say, military spook term.
Yeah, spook, so-called spooky term.
MST.
He did one other thing in his press briefing. This is the most recent one that I thought was like another head shaker. This is Kirby on the Arctic Center.
On to other news. The secretary is proud to announce today the establishment of a sixth Defense Department regional center. This will be the Ted Stevens Center for Arctic Security Studies. The Ted Stevens Center will provide a new venue to collaborate across the U.S. government and with our allies and partners to advance shared interests for a peaceful and prosperous Arctic. The Defense Department regional centers are international academic venues for bilateral and multilateral research, communication, and training with the goal of building strong, sustainable international networks of security leaders.
Well, now that is interesting as well. The Ted Stevens Center? Didn't wasn't he the guy that died in a weird plane crash in Canada?
Yeah, he was murdered.
Yes. So this is like a gimme, like, oh, we murdered him, but and he was in Alaska, so that would kind of make, maybe he was involved in something with the Arctic. There's a lot of mysterious stuff up there.
Yeah, this whole thing was suspicious to me. The naming and everything in between.
Well, you know, if you listen to the alternative to the alternative information circuits, the military Austin is not in control of the military at all. He is only there to do critical race theory type comments and social justice stuff, and that the military, in fact, still is loyal to Trump, and that the August timeline is in play for him to be reinstated. I just have to mention this.
I know you do.
It's a big belief, and Michael Flynn is definitely pushing this. And the term is, and the gloves are off. It's our turn now, and the gloves are off. So, what is wrong with your mic? Is it falling off the stand there? What's going on?
Why?
Your mic is noisy.
Does that sound right?
It's noisy. It's noisy. It's
it like, is?
This is you.
Oh, you know what? Oh, I think what it is. It's the noise screen is banging into it.
Ah, okay. You spit screen. So one brief clip then, seeing as critical race theory is, I'm not going to play any of these clips of parents at, you can look them up anywhere at school meetings, and some of them very articulate, very good, putting these people in their place, telling them they work for us, not the other way around. They don't want critical race theory. They're overturning school boards. The American people are rising up, and it's not just Republicans or red states. It's everywhere. And so when that happens, you got to roll out the big guns.
You would think, with all the public policy debates that are taking place right now, that, you know, the Republican Party would be engaged in a significant debate about how are we going to deal with the economy, and what are we going to do about climate change, and what are we going to do about, lo and behold, the single most important issue to them apparently right now is critical race theory. Who knew that that was the threat to our republic?
Wow, man, they really had to send them out to that, didn't they?
Well, the economy is booming for all practical purposes, according to everybody. So why is anyone going to be discussing that? And global climate change, you know, that I think that's beaten to death. What difference does it make? Why did they bring this guy? He's a socialist communist. I'm convinced of it now.
You know, we were doing our, this is really odd, but Tina's so organized. I love that woman. She's like, okay, well, now we're doing our will. I don't want to think about that. No, we're doing our will. That's very smart. You know, you should do that. We got all kinds of stuff and, you know, history and kids and, you know, the last thing, actually, we want everyone to fight. So we're trying to make it as crazy as possible. But the lawyer, when we were on a Zoom call, you know, she's talking about certain things you can do to protect. It's all about estate taxes for if you die, then how much will the state take away from your children? And she said, I'm just going to get political for a moment here. I hope you don't mind. And like, all right, she's in Texas. So I knew what was coming. She said, you know, when I read Marx, it said it's very obvious what's going to happen here, and that they're going to lower the threshold of 11.2 million. I think it's $11.7 million you can give away untaxed when you die. Like, that's not going to be a problem for me. But she says it'll probably go down to 1.5 to 2 million, which, you know, you have a house and a couple cars, and by that time, you know, inflation. That's really quite interesting how they're pushing all of this. The critical race theory, the elites shouldn't be making all that money, although they are, and they will continue to do so. We need universal basic income. We need to tax that. You can't leave anything to your children. That's not fair. Isn't it interesting how you can inherit the evil white supremacy from your ancestors, multiple generations, but you can't inherit money from your parents? Isn't that interesting how that works?
It's fascinating. By the way, this critical race theory thing is being brought up everywhere. People are not happy about it.
No, and they shouldn't be. It's horrible. It's racist. It is racist.
Well, besides that, it's Marxist.
Yeah, well, there's
We've talked about it before. It comes back. It comes out of the 60s during that era of Marxism. It was a failed idea out of critical theory by Herbert Marcuse and the boys out of the Frankfurt School.
Yep.
The whole thing is a communist idea. It's just a way to subvert the country, to make it weak, which is what they're trying to do with the people that they have in the office, including AOC and Bernie Sanders and all the
rest
of
them. That part is succeeding. It's succeeding, that part.
It's kind of succeeding, but I think this critical race theory, which is a subset of critical theory, has gone too far. This is worse than that stupid Common Core thing. Nobody liked that either. When it comes to messing with the kids, you know, they're asking for trouble with most parents. A lot of parents, oh, no, they're all in. Whatever.
Well, I don't know. It seems like a lot
give
of parents.
Give them a shot. Yes. Let them listen to whatever they want to listen
vaccinating
to.
Vaccinating their kids. And then finally, before we take a break, I watched the Apple Developer Conference presentation.
Yeah, which one? Yeah, WWDC.
Yeah, which I like watching because they tell you a lot more about what's coming and the features. And I only have two. What did you think, by the way, when you saw it? I'm sure you watched some of it, didn't you? Did you watch it?
I watched a few minutes of it. I liked the emojis in the audience, which is pretty much I couldn't tell the difference from the old audience and the emojis. It looked the same to me. And it was rushed. I thought it was rushed, and I thought that it was just all incremental crap.
Yeah,
probably some. You're a big time, old time Apple user. I mean, they kicked me off the platform years ago, and I've never really gone back.
No, I mean, I
don't use an iPhone.
I haven't used.
You voluntarily left.
Yes, I left several years ago. I just looking at this, I have to say two things. One, what they're making is beautiful. It is so slick. It's incremental, but it's all these little things, all these little features. It is a beautiful, soft marshmallow world. And increasingly, it is clear to me, if you stick with this platform, they will own you and make you stupid. It is a complete lock, and they are locking you in on everything, and content no longer will flow. They're going, it's all in the cards. They've got it all set up. It's going to be safe for your protection.
MO since day one. Make it real pretty and attractive and suck you in and pat you a lot on the head and say, don't worry, we can do it.
Yeah.
And we can do it together. And then you become an Apple person.
But it's worse now. You it's just everything is inside the Apple ecosystem, and they have a big ass firewall around you, and they determine what is okay for you to have.
Yeah. Well, you agree to it.
Yeah, but people don't know. They don't know what's coming. They're like, well, I can't get to that. Can't get that information. Now you watch. NoAgendaSocial.com will soon be unavailable on Apple devices. You can feel it coming.
Wouldn't surprise me.
It's coming right down. Which is why we all need a flip phone.
I'm going to show my support by donating to No Agenda.
Imagine all the people who could do that.
Oh, yeah, that'd be fab.
Yeah, on No Agenda. In the morning.
And we do have a few people to thank for show. What show is this?
1354.
Yeah, 1354, starting with L'Oreal Rhine. What's a great name from Statesville, North Carolina. 133? 33. Michael Gilbert, 103.33.
And hold on, Michael. Wait. Michael requests a deduction.
You've been deduced.
And says, please call my co-worker Tom as a douchebag.
Douchebag.
There you go.
What? Wayan Cartini in Torrington, Connecticut, 100. Rob Van Dyke. You know, Rob, Sir Rob, I think, 100. Stephen Little in Inglewood,
Colorado.
Yeah.
I think there's an Inglewood in Colorado.
What happened to my screen here? Oh, there we go. I'm sorry. Lost my... Laura, Valerie Steensland in Kirkland, Washington, 100, home of the Kirkland line of products. Joseph Weish, 7777 in Miami. Michael Ragus, pronounced like Vegas, Ragus, Vegas, Rag, okay. In Tustin, California, 6928. Can you pronounce it like Vegas?
Yes, Michael Ragus.
Regis, like Vegas.
The instructions are right there.
I can't read instructions.
Now, Michael, I think we have a note here, do we not? Yeah. No. But Michael says, and I don't know why this is not here, this officially puts me at exactly $1,000 of donations. You can name me, sir, whatever you want to name me. Thanks, as always, for the great work.
So he's asking for knighting.
Yes, I don't know if he's on the list here. I
don't think so.
No, must have been missed. So why don't you continue, well, and I'll fill in his details.
Sir Michael Regis.
No, he says you can name me, sir, whatever you want to name me, in quotes.
Okay, well then that's what...
Yeah, that's what he's going to get.
Taking him literally.
I think that's what he wants.
Okay, well that's what he's getting. Michael Red, besides, if that's what he wants, is what he gets. Michelle Rudd in Eagle, Idaho, 6921. And these are the 6921 donations, which you just kind of suggested in the email. Did you notice how I did that?
Very, very slick.
Andre Pietju. This is a Hollander. So he's in Rijvik. Okay. And his name is Andre Pietju.
Andre Pietju, Pietjou. Rijswijk.
Rijswijk.
Yeah, so close.
James Foster in Belmont, North Carolina, 6921.
Now, these are all 6921s. Is this, do we have some special date, 6921, in the newsletter?
It was mentioned in the newsletter.
Ah, okay, good.
Adriana Maria Vandervaar, who's also in Holland.
From the Farts.
I don't get Adriana Maria Vandervaart.
From the Fart. So close.
Kyle Blank. Yeah, 6921. Kyle Blank in Houston, 6921. Anonymous, 6921. In Birmingham, Alabama. Brian Taylor in Houston, Texas, 6913. Robert Willie in Muncie, Indiana. Theta 762 in Bethesda, Maryland, 5624. Robert Willie was 66.
Yep.
Sir Roger on Ice in Tampa, Florida, 5555. Thomas Roberts, 5533. Sir Chris Wapkaplitz of the Rolling Bones. Ancaster, Ontario, 5510. Robert Wood, 5510 in Benbrook, Texas. Ryan Sir Jerry Curl, Knight of All Things Greasy in Raleigh, North Carolina, 5510. And Baron Economic Hitman in Houston, Texas, 5001. Following people are $50 donors, name and location.
Oops, sorry. What's going on here? Stop! What's happening?
It's out of control.
Sorry, my system just went haywire for some reason.
Robert Decanay in Fairfax, Virginia. These are all 50s. Michael Hainer in Paris, California. Bert Beekve, another Dutchman. Burke Beekwilder in Vegel.
Beekwilder.
Bake Wilder.
In, where is he?
He's in Vegel.
Fechel. I never get enough of it. Fechel, Noord-Brabant.
Noord-Brabant.
Oh, man.
Xenia, Ohio, accounts for Jonathan Meyer. Raymond Berry's in Lost Wages. Brett Lemons in Mitchell, Indiana. Joseph DeRuin in Bakersfield, Christopher Rivera in Austin, Texas, Stephen Schumach in Xenia, Ohio, Jared Regal in Regina, Saskatchewan, pronounces like, Jesse Hall in Friendswood, Texas, Matthias Milchinski in Stevenson Ranch, California, Greg Furick in Chicago, Edward Mazurik, who's a sir, I believe, in Memphis, Tennessee. Also, Rene Tobacco in Meppel. Another Dutch person, Rene Tobacco in Meppel.
Jace, as soon as we have our vax passports, we must go to Holland, John.
We must. And Sir Jason DeLuzio, that's his Chadsford, Pennsylvania's last. I want to thank all these folks for making show 1354, the winner that it is.
Indeed. Thank you all. And thanks to everybody who came in under that that $50 level, which we do keep for reasons of anonymity. But we see you and it's very much appreciated. We do have A note from Mark Kudrowski, who will be knighted today. I'm officially No Agenda Knight. I wish to be dubbed Sir Plane Crash because I was a pilot in one. Injuries too long to list. I'll just say that I almost died in a coma for a month, have a prosthetic, fused other ankle, brain injury, brain bleed, partial paralysis, etc. Perfect No Agenda producer material. No jingles and nothing added to the roundtable. Mutton and mead, hookers and blow for everybody. My knighting is very much overdue. I reached it at the end of 2019. I very much value your deconstruction, and I'm on a $33 a month plan. I've been listening for 9 years, and it's put into words things that I've been skeptical about all along. Dvorak's superpower is putting things in a historical perspective. Curry's superpower, the way you run the damn show. Yay, Tourette's. And he goes on to say, I refuse to get the jab. I think if you're in a plane crash and you have all that, you don't need, I mean, you could take 20 jabs. You're bulletproof, my friend. I refuse to get the jab. My sister and brother-in-law refused to see me because of that. Jeez. In a discussion that I was not part of with my parents and them, my brother-in-law said, well, he's responsible for the killing of his kids. They're 10, 13, and 16 years old. Horribly insensitive and awful, to say the least. Not to mention the fact that if they are unlikely enough to get it, as it's almost 100% survival rate for kids under 18. And then I realized he is a tenured professor at the University of Minnesota. He works in the biomedical field, and he most definitely talks to Professor Osterholm. My brother-in-law is about the same status as he is and works in a loosely related field. I get a perverse kick out of Osterholm, even though I'm vaccinated. I don't want to breathe the air of people who are not. Just goes to show how entitled and elitist they really are in collegiate America. Stay safe.
Yep.
Stay safe, he says. Well, thank you very much, Mark. And you are on the list. Thanks again to all of the producers. Great show, everybody. We're going to wrap it up with a couple of fun things before we go. Reminder that you can support us for the Sunday show.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Let's hit everybody with a bit of jobs karma.
Jobs, 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 and jobs. Let's vote for jobs. Yeah! Jobs. Karma.
Here is our list, as complete as we have it for today. Sir Data Ops, 33, yesterday. Sir Brian Tobias says happy birthday to Sir Spencer, Wolf of Kansas City, also celebrated on the 9th. Karen Seltzer, happy birthday to her smoking hot husband, Brad Seltzer, turns 55 today. Robert Willie, 66 tomorrow. Sir Chris Wapkaplitz, happy birthday to his nephew, Eli the Mighty Guy, who turns 4 tomorrow. Daniel Taggart, happy birthday to dude named Ben, who celebrated yesterday. And that's our birthday list. Happy birthday from everybody here at the best podcast in the universe. It's your
birthday, yeah. Title changes. Turning faceless lanes. Don't want to be a douchebag.
Indeed, no douchebags allowed. We do have one title change and one that just didn't want a title change. But we have Sir Daniel Mariano, who supported the show an additional amount of $1,000. That brings him up to level of baronet, and we appreciate that very much. And now, two knightings today. So bring out that blade if you
got
to.
Here you go.
It's a good one. Mark Kondrowski and Michael Regas, hop up on stage here, gentlemen. Both of you have supported the No Agenda Show in the amount of $1,000 or above that. And, of course, we know that Michael took 9 years to get here, but that doesn't mean we are not incredibly proud and proud to pronounce both of these gentlemen as knights. We got Sir Plane Crash and Sir Whatever You Want to Name Me. Yes, for you, we have Hookers and Blow, Rent Boys, and Chardonnay. We got Waifus and Waffles, Steel Reserve and Black Miles. We got English Muffin and Butter and Hungry. We got Kebab and Persian Wine, Harvitz and Howdall, Peppermint Rolls and Pale Ales, Ruben S. Women and Rosé, Bong Hits and Bourbon, Ginger Ale and Gerbils. And yes, as truly requested, we've got the Mutton and Mead lined up for you. Thank you, gentlemen, for the support. This is a real pronunciation. You are now knights. People should address you as sir at certain events, such as No Agenda Meetups. We expect that to always happen. And if you'd like to go to No Agenda Meetups, I'm sorry, to NoAgendaNation.com, Eric DeShiel will gladly help you out with your ring, your sealing wax, and with your official certification. Again, thank you for becoming a knight of the No Agenda Roundtable. No.
agenda.
Got one written report today from the, actually it's a spontaneous meetup that I just wanted to mention. It wasn't an official one. From Anonymous's. Just ran into a producer from Tennessee at the gas station in Hamilton, Alabama. As per usual, I was listening while ferrying my smoking hot wife to and from work 20 minutes each way. That's the easiest way for me to consume No Agenda, and she also gets a kick out of it. Anyways, I left the show playing with the door open while I got gas. The guy at the opposite pump said he was listening to the same show. Made my day. I have to apologize. We didn't swap names, but we are both anonymous, and it was nice meeting him. Now, on our calendar, here's what's going on in meetup land. These are the No Agenda meetups. People come together. It's one of the few places you can still have a sane conversation anymore that isn't all about your status as vaxxed or unvaxxed. And tomorrow, Charleston, South Carolina has their five-week cycle at 5 p.m. at Bay Street Beer Garden. On Saturday, the Houston Mass Off Super Spreader Luncheon at noon at the Rodeo Goat. Also on Saturday, the Lisbon Slave Brawl, 6 o'clock Western European time. Sir Kevin of the Irrigated Rice Fields will be organizing. Also on Saturday, Springfield, Missouri. This was rescheduled. The meetup at 8 o'clock at Lindbergh's Patio. And the Boots on the Pegs Hang Off and Hang Out ride with a guide. This is an honorable mention. That will be in Massachusetts, New Hampshire. It's a bike ride. It's on the calendar. Go take a look at that. I'm not sure exactly what that is. And coming Sunday, the Brandon Ellsbury Boston event at 2:30 at Castle Island Brewery. Coming up the rest of the month, the Memphis, Tennessee meetup on the 17th, Charlotte, North Carolina on the 18th, Tacoma, Washington, Denver, Colorado, Peterborough, Ontario, Missoula, Montana. Is on the 19th, Sunset Valley, Texas, the 19th, Chicago, South Dublin, Ireland, Long Beach, California, Barcelona, Spain on the 19th. Are you getting the picture, people? These meetups are important, and people like them, and you'll like it too. Go to noagendameetups.com, take a look, find a meetup near you. Can't find one? No problem. Create one yourself. Noagendameetups.com. It's like a party.
Sometimes you want to go hang out with all the nights and days. Triggered on hell's flame. You wanna be where everybody feels the same. It's like a party.
Now I got a crap of people are taking to this ISO thing as like the way they used to do end of show mixes. In fact, they've gotten less end of show mixes now and more ISOs, which is interesting. I like it because I know people will listen all the way to the end. So kind of like that part. And
yeah, that part is good.
I'll play you my ISOs. I'll play you mine and we'll play yours.
It's very dangerous.
That's one.
Finally, Doc, once and for all, what is the answer to...
No, I don't know what that is. It doesn't even belong in there. How about this one?
That's wrong.
Got that one. And that's all I got. I thought I had more. No, that's all I got. You must have something better, I hope.
I don't know. I got get excited.
Hold on. Where is it? Here we go.
Get excited about.
Okay.
I have watch.
Watch.
Watch where we're stepping. Watch where we're stepping.
Okay, from the cicada clip. I like it, yeah.
And then wrong.
They're wrong.
I like watch where you're stepping. That's kind of cute.
Watch where we're stepping.
Yeah, it's cute. It is definitely cute. And then I have one clip. I know you always have a good one at the end. If you're going into the show notes, you can see that in the Bat versus Lab, I think there's 10 clips if you want to go through it. There's Fauci, you know, the science is under attack. There's a 2018 NIH Advisory Council meeting where he's literally talking about gain of function research loophole. Even 2016, Peter Daszak of Eco Health Alliance talking about sequencing the spike protein. I mean, it's all in there. But instead of playing that, I will play just a short bit, which I thought was funny. Senator Joe Kennedy, and the guy is just he's just a meme fest.
Sean, every time I'm asked about Dr. Fauci, I say the same thing. I know Dr. Fauci. I like Dr. Fauci. I respect Dr. Fauci, but Dr. Fauci needs to cut the crap. This isn't about Dr. Fauci. It's not about his feelings, and I'm sorry if his feelings were hurt. You know, maybe he ought to buy an emotional support pony. But we're not debating dance moves on TikTok here. We're talking about millions of human lives. And here's what we know. Dr. Fauci gave a lot of U.S. taxpayer money to the Wuhan lab for Chinese scientists to research bat coronaviruses.
I just like him. He just adds all, these different things. All these hip terms he's throwing it there. I think he's very with it, this guy.
Kennedy. Yeah, what is his first name? Isn't
Joe.
What you
I
said?
Think it's Joe's, Joe. Isn't it Joe Kennedy?
Isn't it John?
John. John. Is it John?
Yeah,
maybe
know.
It's John.
Look it up.
He's not related, as far as I know.
No, to say the least.
He's not one of the good Kennedys, quote unquote.
He's not a Kennedy.
He's not a Kennedy. All right, you got something to play us out with here?
I'll play you one thing. I got my continuation of the call-in show.
Ooh, yes.
On C-SPAN. We mm-hmm. got here's the call-ins. This is the all one word call-ins.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an some one weirdo.
I'm sorry, one weirdo?
Yeah, call-ins oppose one weirdo.
I see. It's I got it.
Florida, you oppose. Good morning.
I absolutely oppose. First off, I want to give thanks to the King of Kings, Emperor Haile Selassie I, who is the King of Kings. Secondly, Joe Biden and the Democrats are trying to replace black people with Hispanic people because black people are going to eventually get off the damn reservation and the slave things that they are making them live under and are going to get smart and vote them son of bitches out.
Wow, they let that whole thing stay in there. Good.
I was surprised.
Very surprised. That's it? That's the one we're playing? That's the last one?
Well, I can also do one more.
Yeah, do one more.
Call ins anti-Biden drunk.
Policy Bob, why don't you tell us why?
I oppose it all because as far as immigration goes, years ago when you came in this country, you had to learn English and learn our country and everything else. But now they turn it all the way around, and if you don't know anything about the Spanish and you don't want to learn Spanish, you're guilty. This country has gone to hell in a handbag, and it's too bad it happened.
Handbag.
But nobody's going to resolve this problem until everything stops and says, okay, this is it. No more coming in. There's nobody coming in this country unless they do it the right way.
Bob, what do you think about the Congress here and its efforts or lack thereof, depending on who's calling in this morning, on this issue over the years? What would you say to them?
I said to them, don't waste your time because Congress is going to do what they want to do. Nobody's going to change Congress. You can't tell them what to do. They know it all. Except this country is going down the toilet.
I like hell in a handbag. I'm going to use that one. It's going to hell in a handbag, and it's a Gucci or a Birkin. Whew, okay, here's what we have coming up on noagendastream.com. Behind the Schemes, episode 48, Chirac Punk with Boo Burry and Lavish. I've never heard that. End of show makes us Rolando Gonzalez. Rolando Gonzalez. Clip custodian Neil Jones. And Tidewater Architects with a long one, but a good one. So about 4.5 minutes total. And I am coming to you still from Opportunity Zone 33 here in the frontier of Austin, Texas, capital of the Drone Star State. Still FEMA region number 6 on the governmental maps. We'll be out of here in a couple of weeks, off to the hill country of Texas.
Because you're going to Pflugerville.
In the morning, everybody, I'm Adam Curry.
And from northern Silicon Valley, where there's no Pflugerville or hill country, we have real mountains. We're not fooling around. I'm John C. Dvorak.
We return on Sunday. Please remember us at Dvorak.org/NA. Until then, stay safe, everybody. Adios, mofos. And such.
We're going to continue encouraging people to get vaccinated with incentives and fun rewards. The state of Ohio had a heck of a fun reward, a new billionaire last week, thanks to the creative idea of the governor for holding a vaccination and vaccine lottery. The grocery store Kroger announced that they're going to give away $1 million each week to someone who gets vaccinated at one of their pharmacies. the NBA, the NHL, NASCAR, NASCAR tracks. They're offering vaccines outside playoff games and in races. Major League Baseball. We're offering free tickets to people who get vaccinated at the ballpark. And to top it off, Anheuser-Busch announced that beer is on them on July the 4th. That's right. Get a shot and have a beer. Free beer for everyone 21 years or over to celebrate the independence from the virus.
We're gonna get you vaccinated, and my dog is gonna like, he's gonna lick your face if you even just try to get on the system.
Tonight, Houston becoming the first U.S. city to see cases of all the reported variants.
The Delta variant fueled a surge in India and is now the dominant strain in the U.K.
This variant of the virus is stoking some alarm.
And in that coronavirus emergency, new fears about a double mutant variant.
What's your level of concern about this new variant?
These new variants, you've described them as a combination of mutations all at the same time.
I want to ask you about a mutation within these mutations. It's, I guess, nicknamed the Eek mutation.
There is a new variant of this virus. You have said that we have to assume it's already inside this country as well.
But what we're likely to see is regionalized epidemics with this new variant.
Tonight, an East and West Coast punch of new COVID variants.
We've now been reinfected with the South African variant.
They appear to have discovered a new highly contagious variant that combines the British variant and the Indian variant.
So what we know about this new variant is that it is more contagious.
How long will it take us to get the booster shots?
I think we are standing at the very gates of hell.
Get a shot and have a beer.
Race to reach the hesitant. Closing in on the goal to partially vaccinate 70% of all adults by July 4th. Tonight, we may be closer to knowing when the fully inoculated could need that booster shot. Race to reach the hesitant. Closing in on the goal to partially vaccinate 70% of all adults by July 4th. Tonight we may be closer to knowing when the fully inoculated could need that booster shot.
Now the hesitant are hesitant. They're not necessarily hesitant. They may just say no. If you just say no, does that mean you're hesitant?
Well, maybe
I'm going to do it. I'm going to start walking in that direction, but I'm not going to walk too fast. Is it that hesitant as opposed to
no?
Hell no.
A booster shot will likely be needed 8 to 12 months after the second shot. A booster shot will likely be needed 8 to 12 months after the second shot.
No.
Hell no.
A booster shot will likely be needed 8 to 12 months after the second shot.
No.
A booster shot will likely be needed 8 to 12 months after the second shot.
No.
Hell no.
A booster shot.
No.
Hell no.
There
will be a need for a booster.
No.
Hell no.
The current spread of COVID-19, gatherings with family and friends in private homes and yards are prohibited. Travel between regions should be avoided, and traveling to yellow zones is forbidden. It's forbidden to leave your home between 9:30 p.m. and 5 a.m. It's forbidden to leave your home between 9:30 p.m. and 5 a.m. It's forbidden to leave your home between 9:30 p.m. and 5 a.m. Follow all the rules, all the time, no exceptions.
There will be a need for a booster. No. Hell no.
We don't know what the exact trigger point of the number of the percentage of people who are vaccinated.
What did he say?
We don't know what the exact trigger point of the number of the percentage of people who are vaccinated.
There will be a need for a booster.
No.
Hell no.
There will be a need for a booster.
Get a shot and have a beer.
I think we are standing at the very gates of hell.
Thank you.
Rochelle Walensky for all that you and everyone at the CDC does to protect our safety, health, and security.
The best podcast in the universe.
Adios, mofo.
Dvorak.org/NA.
Watch where we're stepping.